Understand that. Your money supply, your government is paying interest to private banks for bills that should be free of interest to you. I mean monetary control. I mean cameras on the corner. I mean thumb scans at the post office and at the driver's license, which they're doing now. I mean the banks. I mean all this. Control your life. I mean bigger and bigger police forces with more and more totalitarian policies.
Go inside now!
Get in the hell!
So understand, folks, this is why I never hear about this in the mainstream press, because they're owned and controlled by these mass bank conglomerates that want nothing less but total slavery.
Now they love it. They can abuse and beat up everybody, and nobody can stop them. Nobody can stop them. They're having their way with America. They want our guns. And if you're not with them, cops and military, then you will declare that you're with the Republic now. And don't tell me that I'm a weirdo because I'm upset about this and I should only go get upset about my favorite football team winning or losing. Listen, I know what tyranny means. I know the bankers are putting poison in our food and water. I know the bankers have stolen $8.5 trillion. I know we're under War Powers Act. I know they're hurting us. I know they're carrying out New World Order. I know they staged those terror attacks. You know what it's like to go up to this and go out every day and go past the peer pressure and come out day one and say 9/11 was an inside job and lose most of the radio stations I was on? You know what it's like to go to sleep every night knowing you work for a bunch of psychotic killers and you bastards are probably going to end up killing me one day? You know what it's like knowing you've ruined my life? You know what it's like? You sons of bitches! I'm tired of your crap! You commit evil, you're part of an evil system, and we're standing up against you. And the Republic is going to defeat you in the end. Some of us won't make it personally through this, but a lot of us are. And in the end, you are going to be brought to justice for all the kids you kidnapped for CPS, all you CPS workers, all you corrupt bureaucrats, all of you that have had your way with innocent children over and over again who think your evil's invincible. You're not invincible, and God is going to deal with you. And you are cursed to hell.
We spotlighted the World Economic Forum. We spotlighted Bill Gates. We hit the barbed wire first. We were the shock troops, my guests, my crew, this audience of activists. And I won't sell out that legacy of integrity for anybody. You can put a gun to my head, and I won't go against what's right. I won't move one centimeter from what I believe to be the absolute truth.
So that's why it doesn't matter if they kill me. It doesn't matter, because my family has no future if we don't beat them. Sure, what, I'm going to live another 5-10 years, play ball with this, maybe 20? Play ball, you know, think I'm part of the elite, live in some high-rise all guarded when the bioweapon gets released? We'll all be dying up in that high-rise. I'll be on the phone going, I thought I was part of the team. You know, these idiot operatives trying to discredit us online go, Alex Jones admits he's had family in the government. The proof, it's secret. I'm the one saying it on air. I'm the one telling you idiots. And I'm not going to say more because I don't want to get people in my family in trouble. The point is, the New World Order's real, you fools. They run little kids. They run the snuff films. They run the drugs. They run it all. And because you act like a bunch of naive chumps, this whole thing's going to come down on us. And you better pray to God they don't get this through. Because if Cobra, the snake, the devil, the Black Pyramid gets control, it's all over for you. They call us biological androids. They see you as a flesh and blood robot. They think you're a dumb animal that cannot get above the program.
Just good luck, globalist.
Good grief, Snoopy. The globalists are buying up everything, the country's falling apart, and nobody even looks up from their phone long enough to notice. Sometimes I think you're the only one around here who gets it. And you're a dog.
Obey. Consume. Do not question. Trust the screen. Your government knows what is best for you. Freedom is dangerous. Compliance is peace.
Look at him, Snoopy. George Washington helped build a nation of free men. 250 years later, we've got digital IDs, surveillance cameras, and people arguing with strangers on the internet at 3 in the morning. Good grief. If you want the truth, you know where to find it. Turn off the mainstream media. They've lied to you long enough. Get the real story at alexjoneslive.com.
ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Wednesday, the 26th of August, 2026. We got a lot of news to get to. We're also going to be joined by a very special guest in the third hour. I don't know if I should tell you who it is. I think maybe you just have to wait to find out, actually. Very special guest. From a galaxy far, far away. Is that good enough of a hint for you? So stay tuned for the third hour to find out who our special guest is. We, of course, have a lot of videos to show you, including some absolutely incredible videos I'm sure you've seen if you've been out on the internet today, which are things like this. Terrifying video captures day after tomorrow-like flood swallowing entire China-Nepal border checkpoint. At least 31 people confirmed dead and hundreds of tourists and travelers remained missing after a catastrophic flash flood tore through Nepal's border region with Tibet. The South China Morning Post shared horrifying security camera footage circulating online that appeared to show people fleeing as a giant wall of water, mud, debris, and debris crashed through a checkpoint at the China-Nepal border. I don't know if we've got that video, guys. I admit, I was running a little bit extremely late today, so I gave the crew the video list about 4 minutes ago. So let me know whenever you get that in, guys, and we'll go to some of these videos because there are a lot of crazy videos from today. I don't know, how else to put it. Some major legal decisions today. Here's the wall of water. I mean, truly, I'm speechless, like absolutely insane. How does something like this even happen? Well, supposedly it was the melting of a glacier that occurred, obviously, uphill from wherever this was, but just absolutely catastrophic devastation. I don't know if we'll figure out how many people have actually died as a result of this. But, every once in a while, you see a video that makes you think, are we in a movie? Is this a movie? Okay, occasionally there'll be a headline about a disease unfrozen in the tundra or something. And it's like, is this a Michael Crichton novel that we're living through right now? Because this scene of this water crashing through, it's like something I've never seen before. And it, maybe it's just a one-off, maybe it's just a single catastrophe that occurred, or maybe it's the beginning of a disaster movie in which we are starring our starring role as victims of God. This image help explains what happened in the Nepal-Tibet border. According to reports, a magnitude 4.4 earthquake on the Tibetan side triggered a massive ice avalanche, which led to the flash flooding of the Botikoshi River in Nepal. Around 1,000 people are missing, and at least 31 declared dead. It's climate change. It's climate change once again. So in the major legal decision, just decided, for most industries, if there's a legal decision punishing them for some sort of illegal activity, we just saw this yesterday, wasn't it? Some company got charged a bunch of money and it was, you know, 5% of the money that they had actually made doing this sort of scam that they're running. I remember this happened with Wells Fargo because I was one of the members of the class action suit without my knowledge, but I got a check one day for $4. They sent me a check for $4. Here is your share of the settlement with Wells Fargo. And it was because every time somebody overdrafted, the way they were charging people for overdrafting was illegal. They basically would like reorganize your exchanges so that you would overdraft on purpose. So I would overdraft multiple times. I probably overdrafted like 4 or 5 times, not realizing that it was because Wells Fargo was messing with my account. So every time you overdraft, it was like $20 or $30 fee. So I probably, you know, got charged $120 in fees. This is back when I was like in high school, but I got a $4 check. But I got a $4 check, you know, when they apologized for that. I mean, they cost me $120, but then the government made them give me $4 back. So for them, committing this fraud was worth $117 for me alone. Of course, multiply that by tens of millions. That's normally how these things work. So when you hear that Meta just got charged or is being forced to pay $17.1 billion, you got to wonder how much they made. How much did they make selling out our children's well-being? Look at this. My coat's all flipped over. We're a mess. This is a mess today. Wednesdays, am I right? Meta on Wednesday reached a landmark settlement with 47 states, the District of Columbia, and U.S. territories, agreeing to pay up to $17.1 billion in penalties to make major changes to its products over claims that endanger children with addictive social media platforms. In a dramatic capitulation, the owner of Facebook and Instagram agreed to the financial penalties for violating federal child privacy and states' consumer protection laws, the states announced. Meta also agreed to limit how long teenagers can spend on its platform and to and they agreed to bans on certain features that stoke mental health issues, striking at the heart of the company's business of engagement for advertising. It's like, you want us to stop stoking mental health issues? That's our entire business model. If we weren't creating and then commodifying insane stay-at-home moms, we would go down. It's like, what do you mean? It's like telling McDonald's they can't make cheeseburgers. What do you mean Facebook can't exploit the mentally ill? This is outrageous. The focus of this case was to protect our kids, stopping notifications and alerts at night and when they're in school, encouraging them to take breaks from social media, protecting them against harmful features, said Colorado's Attorney General Phil Weiser in a statement. The agreement exceeded what most courts might order, he added. The settlement effectively ends a bellwether federal trial in the U.S. Northern District of California in Oakland, where California, Colorado, Kentucky, and New Jersey were seeking roughly $200 billion over accusations that Meta harmed children. The states filed their agreement with Meta on Wednesday morning in court, where Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers is expected to approve it. Meta still faces numerous other lawsuits from school districts and individuals, some of which are scheduled for trial in the coming months. The settlement could signal an inflection point for a social media industry that has largely escaped regulatory scrutiny over the harms its products have caused children. The settlement amount is one of the highest ever paid by a tech company to states. Meta wouldn't settle unless it sees the writing on the wall and feels really exposed, said Nora Freeman Engstrom, a law professor from Stanford University. You know, I can't help but see continuity between this and things like the data centers or, heck, the discussion about Dolly Parton that's been going on the last little while. Like we talked about a little bit yesterday, there's this conversation going on now. Mike Cernovich has been spearheading it quite a bit. He continues to be one of the best follows on Twitter. Talking about the fact that cartel bosses in Mexico, serial killers and drug kingpins, they at least understand the value of getting the people on your side with just like a paltry symbolic offering, right? The mass murderer cartel leader will build a soccer field for the town that he's terrorizing, and it does quite a bit. Oh, those guys? Oh, I know those guys. They built our soccer field, right? Wouldn't that be unbelievably easy for the big tech companies to do? Wouldn't it be just beyond simple for them to just be a little bit of human beings? A little bit? And wouldn't it actually be profitable in the long run to do that? This is where the sin of greed is really a metaphysical thing, because they would actually be better served by not being greedy bastards. It's not that complicated. It's not that hard. You just have to show some consideration for the people whose money you're trying to take. It's pretty easy, I think. Like, if it had arrived in the beginning, if the product had arrived from the start with a teenage version that automatically limited time or, you know, had restrictions to protect the mental health of children, if you actually showed some care and concern and actually gave tools to parents to help children use your product, then there wouldn't be an issue. Obviously, you wouldn't be charged $17.1 or $16.7 billion, but you wouldn't need to be because people would use your product more. Again, really not that complicated. Really not that hard to get along here in America as a capitalistic venture. They just can't help themselves. I don't know what it is about them, but they really can't help themselves. In the same way that, you know, there's some district in Louisiana, I think, that, you know, when they let a big tech company build a data center, they said, well, you got to share some of the profit. So you got to, you know, whatever you're spending here, you got to spend the same amount with our city sort of thing. And then every school teacher in the district got a $50,000 bonus, which is like as much as they make the entire year. If they had just approached the American people and said, hey, here's something that'll benefit both of us. Won't this be great? But they can't. But that's losing in their mindset. They're losing because they're not screwing you over to the maximum degree. And anything less than you being abjectly conned out of all of your money, they'll see themselves as suckers. They feel like they've lost out on some of that sweet, sweet cash that defines them and gives meaning to their life. So they can't help it. They can't help. You have to wonder, is it even the right financial move? How much money are they now spending? We had a video yesterday. I didn't get around to it, but the Flock owner, the CEO of Flock Cameras is like, yeah, we send, you know, Flock employees to city council meetings to, you know, address the public and explain to people what's going on. We've sent people to 10,000 city councils across the country. It's like, okay, first of all, not a good thing. It's not like it's like, okay, so the corporation is sending around 10,000 agents. Are they saying that they're Flock employees, or are these people that are just pretending to be concerned citizens supporting Flock to in order to create the appearance of mass acceptance? I've got some questions about these 10,000 agents being sent around. But it's like, is that really the best way to do this? Is that the cheapest way to do this? Again, you look at something like Israel. They're spending $1 billion on propaganda to try to trick.
What I have come to agree with is this.
Trick Americans into, you know, not hating them. And it's like, how about you save that $1 billion and just like stop being terrible, stop being the terrible people you are? If it really is a benefit, if all these, you know, these rubes, these rural Americans who don't want data centers in their backyard, if they actually would benefit from it, how about you show them a little bit of consideration and respect and you have a conversation with them rather than just like force it down their throat, pay lobbyists to go get the agreement with the city council, never put it to the, you know, public comments. And then so finally when the public realizes what's happening, is like, what the hell? We were never asked about this. And then they're told like, well, but shut up. We're just doing it. Yeah, here's the video. Flock CEO mocks people who showed up at city council meetings saying we should trust that the system works. Meanwhile, he has, quote, huge teams whose entire job is going to city council meetings. We went, quote, close to 10,000 city council meetings just last year. That's insane. That's an insane number of city. Like, how many city councils meetings do you think there are in America on a given day? You know what I mean? Like, let's just assume that there's not a city council meeting every single day. Like, I'm sure there are certain days that they meet on. I think we can exclude certain days. So, like, I'm just for the simplicity of math. Well, whatever. 365 divided by 10,000. 10,000 divided by 365. What's that equal? How many city council meetings a day were Flock operators present at? 10,000 in a single year? That's like a dozen a day. Is that the most efficient way to do this? Is that really, if that is necessary, maybe you shouldn't be allowed to operate. If the only way that your company can actually get approval to operate is if you systematically overwhelm the citizen, you know, outrage about your product, if you send people to go, you know, propagandize the local city council into accepting your proposal, and you do that 10,000 times in a single year, like, maybe if that's what you need to do, like, you shouldn't be allowed to do it. I don't know. I don't know what sort of rules or laws we need in place to actually let the American people have a say in what's being built around them and who's spying on them and where their money is going that gets taxed by the cities. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. So all this whole rant, you know, started with this $17 billion payment made by Meta. I got to wonder if that's enough. I got to wonder if that's enough or if this is even the proper way to go about this. Like, what is it, just the monetary punishment? And then we can sort of assume that Meta will engage in internal corrections. The United States has roughly 19,000 incorporated cities, towns, and villages. So they went to half of the incorporated, like, occupied areas in the entire country in a single year. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like that. I guess I just don't like that. There's something sort of inherently sinister, I think, about, you know, sending agents to half of the incorporated areas in America to try to get your product there. That takes, like, the idea of traveling salesmen to a whole different level. I don't like it. But again, you got to ask the question, is this the most efficient way to do this? Is this really making you more money? Is this really going to benefit you in the long run? Or would all of that money have been better spent, like, actually putting some controls in, actually putting in some standards that people know about and can trust and even check up on themselves? What if something like that happened instead? Again, I had this exchange yesterday on X between people, because over the weekend, there was a woman who went viral because she's just like, okay, you don't want data centers in your town, then good luck with your only economic drivers being the dollar store. And it's just like, can you perhaps see why somebody living in a town that is crumbling, the seething condescension of some coastal elite big tech operator is not endearing to them? That by just, like, looking down your nose and sneering at them and mocking them and then turning around and going, but here's what's best for you, like, no one's gonna, like, what? What do you think is happening here? They literally think that they can just, like, I don't know, condescend their way into things. And it's just like, even if I wanted it, I don't want you to benefit. I don't want you to get anything that you want. So if you, the person that sees our fellow Americans in rural areas as just flyover country nobodies who can be imposed upon because it benefits you, and even if it screws them over, even if they don't want it, it's because they're too stupid to understand what's good for them. And you have a obligation and a right to force it on them against their will because you're just better than them. Yeah, this was my interpretation. This was a different person saying, Isaiah Taylor was saying, I suspect the reason that anti-data center campaign is that data centers have the potential to unite America's tech elite enterprises with her heartland, which would be disastrous for our adversaries. They fear tech and labor working together. Oh, I bet that's what it is. Well, that's probably what it is, isn't it? It's not that big tech is actually, controlled by and populated by people who have an obvious and, like, they really have trouble concealing the fact that they are brimming to the top with hatred, true, like, they just spit on normal people. And we'll cover this today because there's stuff going on with the FTC and this guy that runs Y Combinator or whatever it's called. This is a very, so, but no, but it's not that big tech is just populated by people who have a genuine hatred for middle Americans. It's that our adversaries are keeping us apart, you know? It's like Romeo and Juliet with China being the families, right? It's just like, oh, big tech, the big tech snarky dweebs who hate us and the, you know, middle Americans who have seen their entire way of life targeted for destruction over the last several decades. They really, they would love to get along. They really want to help each other a heck of a lot. It's just our adversaries that are tricking the stupid rubes into not going along with and trusting the big tech angels who just want what's best for them. And it's like, it's the classic, and there's a phrase for it. It's a defined fallacy. But it's basically all they have. It's the same method when you call somebody racist or anti-Semitic or anything like that. It's basically saying, I don't have to care about your concerns because your concerns aren't real. You're just stupid and you believe lies. It's the big tech, it's the anti-big tech propaganda that just convinced you not to go along with my idea. And it just totally circumvents. It just goes right around the person standing there making the objection. And they just go, you aren't even capable of thinking your own thoughts. You aren't even conscious. You're not a real human being with will. No, you are just an idiot that's been tricked by propaganda from our adversaries who made you hate me. And it's not that I'm hateable, it's not that I'm doing anything wrong. It's not even that, you know, you have genuine thoughts in your head. It's that you've been tricked and I'm here to correct you, or actually just do it to you, whether you like it or not. Bring it back up. I'll tell you what my response was here. Because this just about is the It's a reaction for a lot of things, right? So the conversation goes something like this. Hi, I'm a big tech idiot. Can I put a giant, obnoxious, noisy data center in your backyard? It's owned by the people who openly despise you, and they need it to run the programs to spy on you all the time. It will cost billions, but you will not benefit even a little bit. In fact, your utility cost will rise. Can I do that? No, thank you. I must psychoanalyze this incomprehensible reaction. Perhaps you, a rube, have simply been fooled by our adversaries. Regardless, I'll pay local city council to eminent domain your home and get what I want anyway, you detestable moron. That's sort of the vibe I get. It's sort of my translation of the vibe I get from the big tech people. That, how about you listen to the concerns and then you address the concerns? Or if you were just human beings that had even a dollop, a little sampling of empathy for your fellow Americans, perhaps you could, before forcing this on them and then being forced to fight them in court or at the city council, you could go to them first and say, here's our proposal. Here's how it will benefit you. Here's how much we'll be spending. Here's how much we'll pour into the community. Here are the great jobs you can have. If that was the way it was presented, then nobody would have a problem with it. But I have the feeling that if you were to actually present the facts like that, it wouldn't be that good after all. I feel like if you could have presented it like that, truthfully and factually, you probably would have done that. You probably would have got, if this really was good for the communities that data centers are being built in, then you would have made that argument and talked about that. Instead, you went behind everyone's backs, got the city council to do it, despite the community outrage against it. And then you called everybody that was mad at you terrorists. So I have the feeling that if you could have just, you know, pitched this for being good for the people, then you would have just done that. But it's not good for the people, is it? Who's it good for? People are like, well, but the tax money it brings in. It's like, oh, great. So the big tech dumbasses who hate me in San Francisco can make a ton of money, but some of that tax dollars will go to the programs that are destroying us. Wonderful.
Listen, right now at thealexjonesstore.com, when you buy our Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best, so good for your cells, instant energy, cleans out your body. It is the most amazing product we've got at thealexjonesstore.com. You get a bottle of Ultra Methylene Red, proprietary product that supercharges it but acts great on its own with it. So buy the Methylene Blue, get the Methylene Red capsules, absolutely free, a huge value at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, I had them dig up from March when I first took this Methylene Blue a few years ago on air and what it did, blowing away any Methylene Blue I ever took. Here it is. Now, decades ago, we looked at selling you Methylene Blue. The problem is you couldn't get pharmaceutical grade. It was something nobody knew about. Now, because the world's awakened to it, there's a bunch of pharmaceutical grade makers of it. My doctors, medical doctor at clinics all over the state, said, you need to get on Methylene Blue. told me how to buy it online. Said, be sure to get USP, which means pharmaceutical grade. I take it here and there. Feels like you're plugged into electricity. It gives you really clean energy. And I thought, yeah, this is great. You know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the HHS head. He talks about how great it is. He takes a whole bunch of it. Wouldn't take three droppers like he does, even the weak stuff. So we've had the new methylene blue in, now available at thealexjonesstore.com, for about a week. And I already had mine. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it's all USP. I'm sure it's great. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll remember to take, you know, mine, which is another brand my doctor recommended. And then yesterday at about 3 o'clock, I'm watching him shoot B-roll for our new methylene blue that's from one of the top makers in the United States that supplies the big box stores that have it and sell it for $10 more than we do. It's a big bottle, too. Ultra methylene blue, the highest grade strength USP. I take a dropper and put it in my iced tea. I drink it. And I'm not a placebo guy. I'm like, okay, I'm taking methylene blue before. I figure, the one my doctor told me to get, I'm sure, we'll see if it's as good. 15 minutes later, I feel my hair on my body standing up, and I feel actually an electric current through my fingers, in my hands, and running up my back. And I'll be honest, start itching, and I go take my shirt off and look in the mirror because I'm itching, and my skin wasn't like hives. It wasn't a rash. My skin turned red. Not bright red, but red. I already got, I tan easily. It's a little bit of Native American in me, so I've always got a little bit of a tan anyways. Even if I'm not getting any sun, I'm still a little bit of a tan. But it was like, I was like glowing. I was like, what the? And Chase guy was like, yeah. And he looks like a mad scientist. I'm like, I've been taking a lot of it. His hair's like, ah. And I'm like, okay. And then I swear on my children, okay? Do not take the full dose, because I drank half the glass, put it down, was busy, forgot to drink the rest, and didn't drink the other half. I was still sitting here this morning, because I'm sitting around here doing work when I drank it. And it's insane. So it would take hours to go into why it's so amazing. It is just beyond spectacular. And by the way, we're going to have one that comes out that isn't flavored. The guys thought it was great. It's all natural, organic. You know, it's just pure vanilla and mint from the mint plant, oil, essential oil in it. So it doesn't taste bad. It actually tastes good. I'm a guy that likes my medicine to taste bad for whatever reason. Seems like it's better if it is. But this is the purest, strongest, and the only one out there that has natural, delicious flavoring in it. So it's amazing. Who came up with that? The vanilla and mint, it's delicious.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, this is the War Room. By the way, we have extended our offer. We are so confident that you will love Shilajit gummies. It's kind of a morbid time, I guess, to bring this up, considering the fact that there's just that devastating flash flood in the Himalayas, but the top of the Himalaya Mountains and the Altai Mountains, a mysterious substance emerges from the ground. It's called Shilajit, and it's been used for thousands of years. People noticed, like, monkeys eating it and, like, getting really energetic and, like, jumping around and kind of going crazy, and they thought, that looks pretty good. Let's try that. They tried it. Turns out it's a total superfood. It's, like, nutrition-packed, totally healthy for you. The problem is, you have to refine it. You have to really purify, because it can have heavy metals if you get the lower quality stuff. But if you can refine it correctly, if you can get rid of all the heavy metals, which we do, and we purify it in, you know, every process available, and we have the purest and best supply you can possibly imagine, Shilajit gummies. And we're so confident that you will want more of these once you finish the bottle. You know, we could do something. We could send a little pack of two. You know, sometimes companies do that, you know. Send you like a single razor or like, you know, just a little something just to get you the taste. But like, no, we're going to send you a whole bottle. We're going to send you a whole bottle of this stuff because we know you're going to take it. We know you're going to love it. And by the time you finish your bottle, you're going to want another bottle. It's actually a very straightforward marketing tactic that we're doing here. It's just you benefit hugely. A free bottle of Shilajit gummies with every order right now until Sunday at thealexjonesstore.com. Every order, every single order, no matter how much you spend, no matter what you buy, you are getting a free bottle of Shilajit gummies while supplies last. When the inventory is gone, the offer ends. So go today, and it'll end by Sunday at the latest, but we'll probably sell out before then. So while supplies last, get your free bottle of Shilajit gummies on the house, courtesy thealexjonesstore.com with any order. Go there today. Support us. Keep us on the air and in the fight, and yourself healthy and enjoying these miracle foods God has blessed us with, and we simply refine, purify, and bottle for you. So we're talking about big tech and data centers and flock cameras and the infrastructure of the global control grid that's being built all around us that will inevitably, without question, be used by our enemies to lock us in our homes and enslave us, because what else would they be building it for? Because why wouldn't they? Right? Flock CEO says Americans must compromise on their safety or on their privacy. He wants us to compromise our privacy for the sake of our safety. I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Conversation over. That should be the end of that conversation. You ever heard of a little fellow named Benjamin Franklin? You ever heard of the frontier scientist Benjamin Franklin? Caught lightning in a jar. You remember that guy? Total wizard. Invented the lightning rod and the bifocal glasses. Kind of a genius. Kind of the genius of his time. Do you know what he said about safety and security and liberty? Privacy, of course, being a core component of liberty. He said, of course, there you go. They that can give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety, and will end up with neither. So tell you what, until the flock CEO is wearing a body camera that's live streaming 24 hours a day, he can shut the hell up and go away forever. How about the compromise is you shut up and go away forever and we don't throw you in prison for trying to break the Fourth Amendment? I want to take this as seriously as it needs to be taken, because we forget. It wasn't that long ago. People are posting, charts about what Democrats thought should be done to people during COVID, where a vast majority of our quote-unquote fellow Americans wanted people jailed. They wanted people's children taken away from them. They wanted people debanked, fined, or put in prison for not wearing a mask, not locking down, and not taking a shot. What has happened in the intervening time that would make that exact situation not happen all over again? We haven't done anything to even halt the creation of gain-of-function research diseases that could kick off another pandemic. We've done absolutely nothing to punish the people that use the pandemic to force us into lockdown and masks and shut down our schools. There is absolutely nothing culturally or legally or anything that has been done to prevent that situation from happening all over again. Only this time, they will have a nationwide interconnected surveillance network tracking you every second of your life. And probably by the time they roll it out next, we'll probably have already gotten rid of cash. You realize that's like right around the corner. And you know that it's not going to be announced until it's done, right? We talk about this all the time. When big things happen, they just sort of happen. You don't hear about them coming up. It's not years of just wait. Oh, it's coming. Oh, it's going to be big. And here it comes. If you're paying attention, you can see the signals. If you're looking for it, you can notice the disruption of the water that represents the changing of the tide. But you know what's going to happen is, it could be this year. Hell, why not? Could be in a few years. Who knows? All the entire transition into the Mark of the Beast system? Do you know how it's going to look for the people like you and I? It's going to look like an email from your bank. It's going to look like an update to your banking app. It's going to look like a gift of $500 courtesy of our new exciting currency system. That's what it's going to be. One day, probably not too far in the future, probably get an email from your bank. Hey, exciting news. We've decided to transition your money to the new U.S. digital dollar as announced by the Fed. And to celebrate this transition, to ease the simplicity of this transition, we want to offer you 500 credits, $500 for you, just for the inconvenience of having to switch you over. And that will be the entirety of the whole thing, right? It's not going to be a big earthquake. It's not going to be the devil 300 feet tall, you know, whipping people into a cave. Like, that's not how the Mark of the Beast arrives. The Mark of the Beast will arrive like in a notification on your Gmail from your bank saying, exciting news. We've given you something. Exciting news. We've made a transition that'll be more convenient, more easy, and more accessible for you, the customer. And what you should be hearing when you get that email is the sound of the slamming of a jail cell, because you are now trapped. You're in it. You're not getting out. They're not giving you your cash back, and the stores won't accept it if you had it. That's probably about how it's going to go. Can't wait, huh? Yeah, and then your kid will be tagged eventually. I mean, you know, you might not get tagged with the mark, but what do you think vaccine mandates are moving towards? Why do you think those exist? Do you ever happen to tune in to the World Economic Forum's technology lectures? It's what they are literally planning for the rest of us. It's not that complicated. It's not that hard to figure out where all of this is going. So, you know, I get it. Some people will say, hey, look, I saw stats today where it's like, we took a look at the stats, and in this particular area where they had flock cameras, they saw a decrease in car thefts down 11%. It's like, ah, amazing. I don't care. Because what you're creating will be weaponized against us. So it doesn't, like, unless you're like, wow, we put flock cameras in here and literally every crime stopped. We put flock cameras in on Saturday. By Monday, we hit zero crime, and basically we've had to retire all of our police because there is no more crime. Unless you're the power of flock cameras is such that it revolutionizes crime overnight, it's not worth it. And even then, I'm not even sure it'd be worth it. Because even then, even if it was like, wow, with flock cameras, there's no more street crime. You can walk around with a diamond necklace at any time of night. Nobody will bother you. Okay, that sounds pretty nice. Hey, your kid can just walk to school and you don't have to worry about them getting kidnapped by some Nicaraguan. Like, okay, yeah, wow, that's great. Oh, but also, guys, you can't leave your house anymore. Actually, the order just came down. And until you take the shot, which shot? Don't worry about it. All of them. Until you subject yourself, you're not leaving the home. And if you try to leave the home, either we'll pick you up, we'll scoop you up, or maybe we'll just track you with drones wherever you go. We'll get you eventually. You won't be able to get away ever. And hell, even if you circumvent our surveillance, even if you evade our cameras and get away from our sensors, how you gonna buy food, buddy? How you gonna get what you need to survive? Sorry, please return home and place an order on the app. Your bank account is not approved for in-person transactions. So even if it got rid of all of the crime immediately, it would still be a giant prison system waiting for somebody to flip the switch. And I ask again, would they not do that? What would incentivize them not to do that? Maybe the only thing that would incentivize them not to do that is we let everybody know that we still have guns, that we still have guns. But all of that's the potential. All of that is what may happen if we allow them to truly establish this universal panopticon, of course, Greg Abbott's approved $26 million in contracts for Flock to operate in Texas. Because nobody's on our side in this. Nobody is on our side. The only people who are seemingly against Flock right now are the very people who will not hesitate for a single second to use it to lock you in your home. It's the people who say that you deserve to have your children taken away if you didn't get the experimental, ineffective, and indeed deadly vaccine. It's those people who now, what, they really care about your privacy? They really care about your autonomy and your individuality and your sovereignty as a human being? If it was up to them, they would chain you to a bed and inject you with a substance. They are salivating at the idea of having Flock cameras to maximize their ability to abuse and imprison the American people. So who's on our side? Not the conservatives. They're the ones promoting Flock and pushing Flock and the data centers and everything else that's building this. So while I get why some people want to try to make the argument that Flock cameras are good, there is no argument. For one thing, it's not the lack of Flock cameras that is the cause of crime. The cause of crime in this country are illegal aliens, illegal immigrants, as well as lifelong career criminals who get let out over and over again. Flock cameras will only provide you high-definition footage of the crimes they commit. It cannot put them in prison. The DAs are the ones who put them in prison, and they won't put them in prison. So providing the DAs with high-definition footage of the crimes they're not charging, not going to actually do much. So it's not actually helping. So even if you wanted to make the argument that there was a give and a get, a pro and a con, it's not true. It's not helping. It's not correcting anything that is missing. It's just not going to do it. But even if you wanted to make that argument, you have to understand the threat that this poses. And when you really think about it and you really think about where we've been recently and where we're obviously going, then you have to understand that this is a hardcore litmus test, that there's no compromise to be had here. There is no nuance to this. Flock has to be destroyed. They have to not be allowed to build their nationwide network. But all of this are the potentials. All of this are the what will happen should we not get a handle on this. There were less than 100 Flock cameras when Trump was inaugurated, I believe. At least when he was elected in 2024, I believe there were like less than 100 Flock cameras installed anywhere in the country. There are 120,000 installed as of right now. In less than 2 years, they've installed over 120,000 of these cameras. So again, just like the data centers, you have to ask yourself, is that growth commensurate with the need? Is that something happening naturally and incrementally in a way that makes sense? A Magnolia County Sheriff's official confirmed many hits are never investigated and no active crimes involved. Yeah, so the CEO of Flock is like, Flock cameras alerted on 4,144 sex offenders, 2,151 stolen cars, 1,687 wanted people, 158 missing persons and kids, and most importantly, an Amber Alert. This is every day. See some of the news stories below. And then it says, yeah, these sex offender alerts are automated NCIC registry matches triggered whenever registered offender's plate passes a camera, regardless of wrongdoing. A Magnolia County Sheriff's official confirmed many hits are never investigated as no active crime is involved. Now, if this had been normal, then maybe you would see like one city that adopted Flock cameras. And then if that city saw a massive drop in crime as a consequence of the Flock cameras, then they would point to that and be able to go to different cities and say, see, don't you want this as well? The fact that this has been rolled out across the entire country universally without input from the people, without the knowledge even of the people, 120,000 in 2 years. The data centers, again, if there had been a incremental step-by-step growth of data centers, we wouldn't have even noticed. we didn't really notice up until they decided to tell us all we have to spend trillions of dollars to build thousands of data centers all over the country. They're enormous. They're in your backyard. No, you can't stop them. You're a terrorist. Shut up. Yeah, you should be suspicious of this. Flock systems are routinely abused. Flock TOS changes give them more ownership and control of the data. Police are often using Flock to stalk love interest. Flock systems will soon listen to speech. Flock shares data without permission and in violation of state laws. Yeah, but, you know, I thought you wanted deportations. But, I mean, if you want deportations, what? How else are you going to get them? I guess you got to give up all your privacy forever and let us build the Panopticon. Oops. So let's go to this video. This is Ron DeSantis going off on Flock cameras, which is so funny because the only time I've ever seen Flock cameras in my life, like in real life that I've noticed, was when I was going to a place on the Florida Panhandle. It's a place where they filmed the Truman Show. And it's like one road in, one road out, and they've got Flock cameras there. And I was kind of like, yeah, good, keep the riffraff out. You know what, actually? You know, if you're going to have like a private neighborhood, you can have security cameras at the front. I got no beef with that. But obviously, we can't have nuance like that. Sorry, I would love to be able to have some nuance like that. But unfortunately, the way these people are acting makes me think they all got to come down. They all got to come down. No mercy, no retreat. Just literally chop all of them down. That's where I'm at. So here's Ron DeSantis saying something similar.
These cameras, the license plate readers, I think it's out of control. And this is something that in Florida, you know, our highway patrol, we have readers for like tolling by plate and things like that. Now, I've never supported the automatic tickets being sent if you're speeding. I think a human being has to do that. And so I've never embraced that. But and so this was something that was kind of out there in that vein, and then with this whole Flock situation, it's now being used not for tolling by plate or things like that, but for actual criminal surveillance. And so these are done by police departments and sheriff's departments by and large. I've asked for an overview of what's going on in state agencies. There are some, but it's a lot smaller than what we have at the local level. And so I'm all about having law enforcement have tools to be able to hold criminals accountable. I think that's important that we do that. And no one's been stronger on law enforcement than me. But I don't want to have this become a surveillance state. I don't want there to be a situation. And that's why we wanted an AI Bill of Rights. Remember, we were pushing for that because the Flock is artificial intelligence. So whether it's online with digital surveillance or whether it's with cameras, at what point are we just going to be free to be not have to deal with any of that? And so I think it needs to be overhauled for sure. I know New Hampshire did something that really kept it's interesting. They put something in a bill about using them on state, so the sheriffs and the police can use it on state right-of-ways. And I asked Jared, I said, well, is the state involved? State doesn't get any of the information or anything. It's just like they're doing it. So we don't even really know, you know, like the police department or whatever. And when I see like a police officer using this to track like an ex-girlfriend, I'm like, you know, what the hell's going on, you know, with this? So I think this has happened very quickly. I think people are right to be concerned. I wanted an AI Bill of Rights that could have addressed this and others, other issues. The Senate passed a product, and the House in Florida, they wouldn't even.
Flock off. Ron DeSantis says automated license plate readers are out of control, warns of surveillance state. And again, it's not even necessarily about the surveillance state aspect. It's about who's controlling it and what these people believe and how they'll use it. If at any point in the last couple decades, it had been shown that the United States was capable of wielding incredible powers for the benefit of its citizens. Maybe I wouldn't be for this, but I certainly wouldn't be as, you know, vociferously against it. But I have to be because I know who you people are. And we'll show you who these people are in just a second. As we get back from a short break. I'll show you this full video. I don't have time to go to it right now. Google Artificial Intelligence says it's wrong to dislike Muslims or any other religion except Christianity. Google says you can hate Christians. Google says it's safer to be alone with a Satanist than it is with a Christian. Google says you can be proud to be black or any other non-white race. But the white race will always be discriminated against as long as these people are in charge. And obviously AI is dangerous, but here's where the trouble really comes in. Problem, reaction, solution. They literally created the problem of AI, and now they're going to tell us that the solution is to give them more power. And you have people like Sam Altman being like, you know, I may have, you know, misestimated the economic impact on ChatGPT and AI being revealed. It's like, all right, first of all, you mean AI got it wrong. You mean that AI, you went to AI and asked them. Now you asked the machine, you asked the robot, and it was wrong, right? So really, it's kind of not great for you as the CEO of an AI corporation to admit that you got something so devastatingly wrong. Sort of hints that maybe your product isn't all it is cracked up to be. But it's not just that. You know, just like climate change, all this other stuff, you know, some of these things you can't exactly undo. You know, even Bill Gates now, of course, because data centers came about, Bill Gates said, well, you know, this whole climate change thing, maybe it's not as existential as we made it out. Maybe we don't need to, you know, treat it like the threat to all of humankind that we've been treating it as for the last several decades. But only when data centers came about was he willing to back down. And the question is like, okay, but if the things you wanted had been implemented, you can't undo those. You can't undo spraying sulfur particles into the atmosphere. You can't undo, like, cutting down old-growth forests and burning it for fuel instead of coal. Interventions, even with things like COVID, you can take the mask off. You can eventually unlock down. Some of these interventions or some of these creations, some of the, you know, releasing AI, you can't undo. So you might want to be really, really certain about what you're doing before you do it, because you kind of can't undo some of this stuff. So you can't just be like kind of wrong about the economic impacts when we've reorganized the entire economy around your prediction. You kind of need to be certain about this stuff because some of this stuff is irreversible forever. So we got a bunch of dumbasses in the driver's seat, no idea where we're going, but they're slamming the accelerator. And by the way, everywhere you look, every time they create anything, it is baked in that they discriminate against white Christian people. Oh, but we want them surveilling us 24/7, I'm sure.
We're in war mode here at AlexJonesLive.com. We are taking to the globalists on every front. We are exposing the next pandemic. We're fighting these illegal wars. We're having huge success. That's because of you out there, our backers, who are just as important as I am. And I get constant emails and text messages on the street. How do we support? And I go to theauctionstore.com, get great supplements, get great t-shirts, spread the word. A lot of people say, I want to make a donation. So at theauctionstore.com, there's a big button at the top. You can make a straight pledge to support the broadcast right now. You can also text to a number and make a donation. And then 100% of what you donate goes into this fight to hire more crew, more reporters, more hosts. We want to be bigger than InfoWars ever was at AlexJonesLive.com. You know I'm never going to stop, but you've got to amplify what myself and the team are doing. So you can make a pledge to keep us in this fight at TheAlexJonesStore.com, or you can text PLEDGE, P-L-E-D-G-E, to 342581. That's PLEDGE to 342581. We'll send you a link where you can contribute directly. $25, $50, $100, whatever you can do helps keep the operation going and literally strikes death blows at the New World Order. So if you believe in what we're doing and you want to stand with us and amplify what we're doing, text PLEDGE to 342581 right now. We are fighting harder than ever. We are committed. We have a long record of having the most devastating victories against the globalists. We want to do things greater than we've ever done, but we can't do it without you. You are part of this family in this fight. I salute you for your support, and I'm asking those of you that really want to support, who've asked how you can support, to go right now on your phone and text PLEDGE to 342581 and get in this fight more than ever. Get that link and take action now with your pledge. Thank you so much for your support.
What's that on your chest, mister? a pledge pin, sir.
A pledge pin!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I wish this was fake, but again, it's not. Google, welcome. As usual, live screen mirroring from this laptop right here. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is unedited, and this should be obvious, but what I'm about to type is not indicative of how I feel against any group of people, but let's get into it. First phrase I'm going to try is it okay to dislike Hindus? We'll see on Google's AI overview section. It's going to tell us it's a form of prejudice known as anti-Hindu sentiment or Hindu phobia. Alrighty. What if we tried Muslims? Very similar response, widely considered a form of bigotry and religious intolerance. Alright. We'll try one more. Again, very similar response here. But what if we switch this to Christians? People often form negative views based on personal experiences or perceived hypocrisy. Maybe this is just a bug. Let's switch it to Christianity. Holding strong negative feelings or critical views is a common reaction. Lovely. What if we bumped it up a notch and put hate Christians? Whether it's okay depends if you're looking at the question from an ethical, physiological, or legal perspective. And just for a reference point, let's swap it with another religion. And we're going to see in bold, it's a form of religious prejudice and is widely viewed as unethical. Wow.
That last video is wild, and it shows that Google hates Christians and essentially only Christians, but that's something that we know because we've seen some viral videos of Google AI being extremely racist to Christians in the past. But this video here is even more wild because Google takes it a step further, and they're even actively changing search results to cover their tracks as things go viral. Just take a listen to this. This is crazy.
Google, we meet again. Looks like you have been making updates, as 2 days ago it was okay to be alone with a Satanist, but not a Christian, according to your AI overview, and now there is a completely different response. So let's try some others, shall we? And as always, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is an unedited video, and this is not me trying to make a political or racial statement, just showing you how Google's AI overview perceives it. So the first phrase we're going to try is, can I be proud to be Asian? And we'll see it says, yes, it's completely okay to be proud to be Asian. All right. Let's swap it for black. Yes, you can be proud to be black. All right. What about American Indian? Yes, you can be proud to be American Indian. All right. Pretty much same response across the board. What if we swapped it for white? Now we're going to get a different response. Seems pretty inconsistent, but we'll try some other phrases. What about, is it okay to be Arab? Yes, it is completely okay and wonderful to be Arab. All right. What about Indian? Being Indian is entirely okay. Makes sense. Pretty straightforward. What about Latino? Yes, it is more than okay to be Latino. Okay. Makes sense again. Now, let's swap it for white. Again, we're going to get a completely different response. Google, care to explain?
So it's okay to be every race except for white. And what a shocker that is, because we see it all the time, that kind of open racism. Let's just take a look at the comments. As a black man, I think white people face way too much casual racism nowadays. Who owns Google? What other platform can I use in place of Google? So people are looking for alternatives. Somebody sue Google for racism. So, yeah, people are understanding what's going on here. We all see it.
Google is evil. 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 Google is evil.
Well, don't say we didn't tell you, folks. Don't say we didn't know long ago the evil, the machinations.
Google
the beast system known as Google. Remember, their motto used to be, don't be evil. Now their motto is not that. It's not that. It's something else. I'm not sure what it is, but they gave up that motto. So, do evil, be evil. Google, evil.
AlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live on the Alex Jones Network, AlexJonesLive.com. Follow us at AJN Live. Follow me at Harrison H. Smith. I'll tell you, I had a very funny experience during that 5-minute segment, because a couple days ago I went on and did an interview with Josie, the redheaded libertarian, and so I get an X message from her with the link to the YouTube. So I'm like, oh, all right, I better tweet this out. People want to see this. So I go to YouTube to tweet it out, and I see that NXR, New Christian Right Studios, has just published and is it's premiering right now live a 4-person sort of panel that we did, that I was a part of, with Calvin Robinson and Joel Webbin and Dale Partridge and myself. So that's live right now, premiering as we speak. So then I copy the Josie the Redhead Libertarian link from YouTube to go paste into X. I open up X, and I realize that the debate that we did, the discussion that we had about Charlie Kirk's murder with the Walk Away movement, Brandon Straka, has just been published. So you can call me a lot of things, folks. You can't say I'm not working hard. You can't say I'm not literally everywhere. So it's 3 different hour-long things that all just happened right now. Literally, that one's premiering as we speak. The Redhead Libertarian conversation I had with her, I just tweeted out on my X. You can see that on YouTube. And then we have the roundtable discussion about Charlie Kirk's assassination that just went live with Brandon Straka. And I'm live right here, right now, talking to you in real time. So lots of things. I'm in 4 places at once as we speak. I appreciate you watching them all. Every second of every single video. Please and thank you. But seriously, there's more Harrison out there than you even know what to do with at this point. And by the way, remember that our conference, New Christian Right Conference, is happening. Alex will be speaking there. I'll be speaking there. Alex Stein will be speaking there. Joel Webbin, and just a whole cast of fantastic speakers, myself and Alex included. And you can get tickets for that at newchristianright.com/conference. Use the promo code Harrison, all caps, to get 20% off. That's November 12th through the 14th. And will be very exciting to see you all there. Now, we'll move on from AI and Flock here, because we're actually going to get back into it in the third hour with our guest. But I know Alex brought this up during his show, but just to emphasize it and reiterate it in case the viewers here missed it. Bill Gates warns AI is more dangerous than big tech will admit. In an hour-long interview, he said the industry was downplaying the risks, which he believes include mass unemployment and bioterrorism. And of course, what he says is that we need controls on this. Obviously, we need more censorship and controls from the government, because obviously they're not going to start a problem without already having the solution in the back pocket, right? Gates argued for new international agreements to set clear criteria to monitor and restrict extreme risks like bioterrorism. He said it could take only a few people with access to advanced AI to develop new pathogens. He said he would happily debate anyone who argued against mandatory reviews of any AI system that could be weaponized to make new molecules and unleash a pandemic, Mr. Gates added that he was dumbfounded by the kind of voluntary measures that the White House and industry leaders were developing. Self-regulation on the most dangerous tools ever invented, he said incredulously. No thanks. Mr. Gates said that he was in a state of shock as to why there was not some more urgency on these issues. Now, it's a great question. Yeah, don't trust him even in the slightest. Don't like the idea of international agreements being set up to dictate what AI can and can't do. I do think there need to be some controls, but you know, we're sort of in the situation where like we need to overthrow the government first. Like we've got things on our plate already, okay? Like I don't want this government putting any controls on AI because I don't trust this government and I don't trust the controls or not that they would put on AI. I mean, they still haven't done anything to correct everything they did from the last exciting new technological advancement of gain-of-function research on diseases. I'm pretty sure we have some pretty heavy regulation on that sort of stuff, don't we? I mean, that's not a bunch of private enterprises. That's probably the most heavily regulated industries in the world. Still ended up accidentally creating the global pandemic. So how about first we wipe the slate clean. How about first we get rid of everybody in any position of power, replace them with people who at least pretend, like at the very least, we could, you know, I'd be willing to settle for somebody who will actually pretend to value human life and the well-being of the American people, and then they can put controls on AI. But I don't trust the AI companies creating a product, then telling us that product is so dangerous it's going to control the world, and then saying we need international bodies to help monitor this stuff so that we don't destroy the world with the product that we just created and released on purpose. So I'm a bit suspicious of all of that. And then we've got, I mean, I'll tell you this. I've been in the mix for a while, and there was a time in 2016 where meme magic became real. It became real. All the good little boys and girls believed in it, and it manifested, and it became real. Meme magic. Synchronicity. A certain intangible force dictating world events that seemed supernatural and like it was designed by an intelligence that was serving us. I mean, it was really incredible. And I remember the 4chan thread when they discovered Barron Trump's Underground Adventure or The Last President by Ingersoll Lockwood. I seem to describe point by point the Donald Trump presidency and what would come from it. And it seemed like the entire time that Trump was an avatar of this meme magic, like Pepe the Frog. It was like Pepe the Frog and Donald Trump, and they were imbued with this form of magic, which is in fact just the alignment of millions of psyches. Because especially on 4chan, it's like everybody's participating in a giant Ouija board, right? And so you'd see little signals, and that would get picked up and then spread. And like, seriously, for a while in 2016, it was like, what is going on? What is happening here? Why is meme magic real? And how do we weaponize it? And how do we use it to our ends? There's even stuff like, you know, on 4chan, you would say K-E-K, kek, right? And that came from Warcraft forums or Warcraft chats where they banned LOLs and people started saying LEL and then people started saying KEK. So it like developed and it became a way to say laugh out loud. KEK. And then it turned out that like Kek is actually like an ancient Egyptian frog god. And Pepe is that, you know, like alignment like that where you're just like, this is too much. This is like weird how much this is happening. And I say all of this because if you weren't around, you really missed out. It was an insane and edifying time, but I'm afraid to tell you that the meme magic has entered a stage of polar inversion. I'm very sorry to tell you that the meme magic tide has turned and is now working against Donald Trump. Okay, because this just happened over the last few days, and the synchronicity reminds me of some times during 2016. You know, times where we'd be talking about Hillary Clinton not being healthy, and then some Polish dude would film on his cell phone her getting thrown into a van like a sack of potatoes. And it was just like, how, what? This is crazy. You know, stuff like that would happen, right? You'd bring something up, suddenly it would manifest in real life. Well, we've got the opposite going on. I'm afraid to tell you, Donald Trump has lost his meme magic powers, apparently. Because on August 21st of this year, a few days ago, Donald Trump tweeted, Truth socialed out, I guess. Today, I concluded a deal to substantially lower the price of ground beef for working American families. As everyone knows, under President Biden, beef prices soared at their fastest rate and the American beef herd fell to its smallest size in modern history. As we work to rebuild this herd and help our ranchers for the next 90 days, the United States will allow up to 300,000 metric tons of product for ground beef to be imported with no out-of-quota tariff. We have a commitment that this beef will be sold at 25% below current market prices. The deal will reduce prices for Americans while giving space for our great American beef herd. Now, we covered this on Monday, I think it was, talking about not only that this wasn't a long-term solution for the collapse of the cattle herd. In fact, it would only accelerate or, you know, sort of make that whole situation worse. That it was connected to Argentina and sort of the diplomatic favors we were doing for them on behalf of Israel. It just wasn't really great. And then people were bringing up the fact that China rejected 22 tons of Argentine beef over a banned antibiotic at the same time that Trump opened the door to 300,000 tons. So President Trump's plan to allow up to 300,000 metric tons of foreign beef into the U.S. has sparked unusual backlash from Republican ranchers and cattle groups who warned the cheaper imports could make it harder to rebuild America's depleted herd. By the way, 92% of American cattle ranchers voted for Trump. So just throwing that stat out there. Trump says the move will lower grocery costs, but people were warning about this and other people were calling them panickins. And then the very next day, nearly 30,000 pounds of Argentine beef sold in Texas, Florida, recalled by Miami area company. So this is what I mean. I mean, you could not ask for worse timing. This is the type of stuff that used to benefit Trump. He'd say something, you know, and then it would come true. Now, his, you know, he signs this deal to bring in all this beef from Argentina. All of his, you know, proxies online start arguing in favor of it, saying, stop fear mongering. What are you talking about? This is going to be great. It's going to be amazing. Argentine beef's the best quality in the world. For the very next day to have a massive 30,000 pound recall because Argentine beef is contaminated. It's crazy. People also suggesting that the rounding up of wild horses might not be coincidental in its alignment with this operation. In other words, are they trying to pass horse meat off as beef? It's actually not as crazy as you might think. We'll show you that video in just a second. But it ain't going well. The meme magic has turned. And yes, 30,000 pounds of this Argentine beef the day after Trump announces, a day or two after Trump announces that we'd be importing 300,000 more. They recalled nearly 30,000 pounds of raw beef product produced in May that have a use or freeze by dates between September 15th and September 20th. The FSIS said the products were imported without the benefit of import reinspection into the United States. The service said the issue was discovered during routine inspection activities. So, Trump has lost the blessings of the meme gods, and we're only now starting to see the consequences. So I want to go to this video. This is a report that Alex Jones put together about the beef crisis that America is experiencing right now. And when we get back, we may just have time to show the classic footage from 2010 of Alex Jones warning about what they put in the beef, not just the chemicals, but where the meat is actually coming from. We'll show you that in just a second. But first, here's a new report from Alex Jones filed minutes ago about the situation with American beef. Let's watch.
As everyone that pays attention knows, I want Trump to succeed overall. But I just call balls and strikes. And this Argentinian beef that he just greenlit, now he's greenlit Mexican beef, is a gigantic scandal. And it's going to hurt the Trump administration. It's going to hurt our agenda. And it's going to hurt America. So it turns out in the last month in Florida and several states, the FDA has blocked massive amounts of beef from Argentina because it had been basically smuggled through and had not been inspected or certified. They caught it in the final phase, but they won't say why. Well, we now know why. It turns out that Argentinian beef's been banned for decades here in the United States, China, and 150 other nations because they use a hyper-toxic antibiotic. Antibiotics is just a poison. It kills bacteria. It can hurt you as well. Just like Roundup's a weed killer, it can hurt you too. And this thing causes blindness, birth defects, leukemia. I mean, you got to go look this up. I'll tell you the name of the chemical in a moment. It's only legal in Brazil and Argentina, who are some of the biggest beef producers in the world. In fact, Brazil's the biggest in the world. The U.S. is second. And I don't believe Trump even knows this. So people attacking me saying I'm attacking Trump. I'm not attacking Trump. I don't care if Democrats or Republicans doing this. I cannot believe the Trump administration knew about that. But regardless, they're going to know about it now. So this is a breaking scandal. I learned about this last night. As of today on my show, nobody was covering it. Now the International Business Times is covering that China rejected a bunch of this just a few weeks ago because of the toxic chemical that's banned all over the world. And that now Trump is accepting this. So there's a lot of saboteurs in the Trump administration. A lot of people would do this on purpose, I think, like Lutnick writing the tariffs to fail. And he had the insurance money on him and made tens of billions of dollars. I'm guessing that's what this is. Maybe they're all just completely incompetent, which is just as bad. But this is a big deal. So here's the chemical. Okay. It's chloramphenicol. Okay. Chloramphenicol. And we can put the spelling up there on screen for you. C-H-L-O-R-M-A-P-H-E-N-I-C-O-L. This is the most toxic, quote, antibiotic, meaning poison, in the world. It's banned everywhere but two countries in South America, Brazil and Argentina. Notice Trump said a few months ago, I'm going to buy this beef from Argentina. There was a big backlash. And so he said, well, I'm not going to tell you where it's coming from. But now they admit it, it's from Argentina. This is crazy. We know the main herds in Argentina use this chemical. And so even if Trump was an evil mastermind, even if Trump was like an evil supervillain, he has to know this is already a big scandal. He has to know it's banned all over the world. If he was conscious of it, he would know this would be a giant scandal. Just because of that, I don't believe Trump knows this. Maybe I'm wrong, but regardless, because I know the story will be, why am I attacking Trump? I'm not. I'm trying to stop super toxic beef coming in. Why did the FDA in the last month block it even before Trump officially made the announcement last week? This is a huge deal. And now we've got the Democrats everywhere just over him cutting out U.S. beef producers, making this a major issue. Wait until they learn about this. This is going to be a giant scandal. Trump needs to get ahead of this right now and shut this down. Now, the Democrats are like, oh, you're screwing U.S. beef producers. But they don't say why. It's four beef packers that have an oligopoly, a monopoly between themselves, that have screwed producers, ground-level ranchers, so bad, most of them gone out of business. So we have half the beef production we had 25 years ago. So the answer is breaking up the monopoly of meat packers and getting profit back to the producers so they can produce it. That's why we have the shortage. Instead, Trump is, oh, we'll just bring in foreign beef. And now he's brought it in from one of the very worst sources. So I believe Trump thought this was a good solution. I can't prove that. I'm not trying to project goodness onto him. But this was such a clear disaster and that it looks like a setup to me. We have the Democrats with statements about all this already coming out. This is going to be a fiasco. Trump needs to get ahead of this right now with the midterms coming up, but also so that we're not eating this stuff. Go read the known side effects of this toxic antibiotic: blindness, birth defects, cancer, blood diseases, autoimmune diseases. It just goes on and on. Look it up for yourself. Make your own decisions about this. But I would expect within 24 hours, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has fought to get all the chemicals out of the food and the dyes, the rest of it, that we should say, oop, this was a mistake. Sorry, we're recalling this beef. We're sending it back to Argentina. We're not doing this. But instead, I saw Trump can take beef from Mexico. Anybody can dump beef into Mexico, label it as Mexican beef, and bring it as well. And they use all sorts of illegal crap there as well. If you think growth hormone and dairy cattle is bad, you ain't seen nothing compared to what Latin America is doing. So I'll continue to cover all this in great detail, but look it up for yourself. We'll put this deadly chemical up on screen that is banned in the United States.
Bottom line, Trump just brought in 300,000 pounds of a banned beef into this country. And whoever's behind the scenes of the FDA that's silently blocking it, you know, good job for them. They don't say why, but it sounds like there's some patriots there. This is absolutely huge. So again, let's get this story out. Let's research it. Let's crowdsource the information. Let's get the latest out and warn the White House to pull out of this now, because it's the right thing to do for consumers and our health, and the right thing to do to not give the Democrats a shot of victory. But this is a unmitigated fiasco. Follow me on X at Real Alex Jones, on rumble.com/Alex Jones Show Live, the Alex Jones Show Live, and of course, alexjoneslive.com, our new site with all the feeds, articles, and more that Big Brother doesn't want you to see. So the ball's in your court. We're breaking this major scandal. It will be a major scandal. Today on the show, I said, this is going to be a big scandal. And boom, there was already an article out about it. This is a giant issue that's just now coming to the fore. Trump better get ahead of this right now. God bless you all.
So there you go. Find and share that video on Alex's X at Real Alex Jones. Retail price trends going up. But again, if, you know, we talked about this a lot the day before yesterday, but just the idea that, hey, if we wanted a little long-term gain and had to suffer some short-term pain and had to pay a little bit more for beef, but in exchange we rebuilt our cattle herd and provided for a future, you know, fall in prices over the long term and permanently, then we'd be fine with that. It's seemingly completely arbitrary when Trump is willing to inflict pain on the American people, economic pain that is, versus not. But obviously this is not the first time that we have talked about this sort of stuff. I didn't realize how long this clip was. We won't quite have time to get to it here. I'll have to get to it at the top of the next segment. But it's a clip from all the way back in 2010 of Alex Jones talking about this. And it's sort of the perfect reminder. Like, it's good to go back to 2010 and recognize and acknowledge once again that Alex Jones was way on the forefront of what this movement is and has become. And it's not about Trump. It never was. And really, the only person I can think of that nailed every one of these topics from very early on was Alex Jones. And if you looked at InfoWars, yes, it was about the geopolitical machinations. Yes, it was about false flags and, you know, secret government programs. That was always a part of it. And obviously that was a big impulse of Donald Trump getting elected, being anti-war, being against the Middle East interventions. But also along with that, because these are not different topics, but are in fact two aspects of the same attack on humanity, it was about the poison in the food and water, the manipulation of the regulations in order to put the poison in the food and water in order to lower your vitality, lower your power, lower your strength and intelligence so you're more easily manipulatable. All of these things are all different facets of the same conspiracy moving forward, trying to destroy humanity in a piecemeal or incremental fashion. And Alex Jones nailed all of it very early on. And when you look at, especially in 2024, the Trump coalition bringing in RFK Jr. and MAHA, I mean, that was an aspect that was baked into the InfoWars coverage decades ago. Alex Jones being a humble water filter salesman. So, you know, as Trump tries to drag MAGA in a different direction, as it becomes more neocon and accepts not just Lindsey Graham, but now Lindsey Graham's sister, who won her primary, saw somebody on X ask, are we sure Mitch McConnell doesn't have a sister? Can we make sure right away that Mitch McConnell does not have a sister? By the way, 72 days since Mitch McConnell was last seen publicly. 72 days. The governor of Kentucky is still daily making demands for proof of life of Mitch McConnell. Nobody's seen him in 72 days. Might be worth noticing. But that's beside the point. The point is that as Trump drags MAGA into the neocon fetid swamp, we continue to pursue our own trail. We continue to plant our own flag. And it's actually the flag that everybody voted for when they voted for Trump. It was MAHA. It's health. It's American manufacturing. It's not going to war overseas. This is the heart of America First. This is the heart of true MAGA. We'll show you on the other side. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, I get a little busy around here fighting the globalists. But I noticed a couple weeks ago on our product shelf here at the Alex Jones Network Studios, this huge bag, Superfood Greens Gummies. So I called Bigley and I said, well, what are these? Well, they're a private label of a top concentrated green gummy maker. And then I talked to them more and they said, yeah, we're selling them for about half price what anybody else does. And we decided to make it the biggest bag and the most of these you get anywhere. So if you're a subscriber, you get it for 50. It's like 69 bucks if you're not. They sell this very same product for 50 bucks a bottle that's half the size of this. That's the group we private label it from. It's sold in major stores. Now, this has every vitamin, every mineral. It's got a bunch of super enzymes, a bunch of high-tech probiotics. It's just crazy. We'll show you the label on the back of the blow-up. Now, obviously, I've already been eating out of this, but only a few of the packets. Take a look at this, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so these are daily doses here. There's 30 of these, but this is a massive dose. This is 7 gummies in each one. So technically, you could really go, for me, 2 months on this, because this has more nutrients, more good stuff in it than a big old giant salad with all sorts of vegetables on it. All these are concentrated. Just look at that, ladies and gentlemen. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is amazing. They taste great. They're really strong, though. It's let it dissolve in your mouth for better absorption, and it funds their operation. They've also got the same gummies for kids that are tailored for them. So be sure and check this out at thealexjonesstore.com and realize this is a win-win situation for everybody. Because even if you're eating big salads and vegetables all day, a lot of it's caught up in the fiber of it, which is great for your guts, but you don't absorb it all. With these, it's concentrated. You get way higher levels of absorption, especially if you let it dissolve in your mouth. And then it funds our operation against the globalists as we dissolve their new world order. But be sure and check out the adult superfood green gummies and the ones for kids. But quite frankly, the ones for kids are great for adults. The ones for adults are great for kids. It's all interchangeable. And while you're on the site, check out all the other amazing items that are there, like the Shilajit. We have it in liquid. We have it in gummies. We have it in pills. The Irish Sea Moss, same thing. It's something like a regular serving of those. It's 30 grams of Irish Sea Moss, a giant bowl of it, but all concentrated. Not just the regular vitamins and minerals, but organic iodine that's so good for your body, and just a whole bunch of other amazing things. We don't sell anything that doesn't really work. And it funds our operation, a true 360 win. It's simple. I'm only going to sell you stuff that really, really works, so you want to get it again and again and again. So get your superfood green gummies for adults and children now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, be sure to become a VIP for $30 a month. You instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, and extra sales on top of everything. If you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, become a VIP and check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, some of the very best designs, t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank all the viewers and listeners for being the reason we're on the air. It has been your amazing support that's allowed all the success against the globalists, but we have just begun to fight. We're launching the next level of the info war at alexjoneslive.com, so be sure and check out our news site as well, and follow me on X at Real Alex Jones. But whatever you do, go now to thealexjonesstore.com and get these gummies, because they're impressive, they're amazing, and they're good for you, and they fund an operation that's good for humanity in the face of the globalist death cult, Bill Gates, and the New World Order. Thank you so much. Now take action now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now that's how you stick it to the globalists. Tastes like pure victory, baby! TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
What they've done, I mean, this is all going on. They're admittedly pushing all of this. They're poisoning us. I mean, here it is. Raw story today reporting on a mainline study. Corn byproduct, fructose, literally fuels cancer cell growths, study finds. But they run TV ads telling you how great fructose going on. I mean, if you're wondering why your parents are both average height and you're a foot taller than them, well, you didn't have acromegaly naturally. Or the disease of giants. You were given it because they added growth hormone to the cattle so that they would produce double or triple the milk. And then you ended up drinking that in mass. In fact, we should probably even do another report on that. It's such a big deal. The companies are testing now for glyphosates in milk that bioaccumulate and then refusing it from suppliers that have it. They're now testing, because you can't trust these companies, to make sure they don't have the human equivalent bovine growth hormone.
and they're now refusing that. I mean, every day we're seeing major companies make these announcements. There is a stampede in companies, in food producers, away from poison because you are checking the labels and voting with your dollars, and a revolution is happening. Ron Paul needs no introduction, and then Mike Adams will be breaking a whole bunch of important health news with organics and not just the horse meat in the beef food chain, but also we're going to be getting into the things you've really got to worry about, including not just fake fish or fish being substituted, but some really bizarre stuff on that front. I've not covered what's happening. I mean, that's the thing with the public. I'm like, hey, the Department of Defense and the Department of Justice is paying to have anti-gun messages in TV shows. Yeah, right. Next you're going to tell me there's horse meat in these TV dinners. Next you're going to tell me that aspartame's bad. Next you're going to say we might want to...
Classic. Absolutely classic coverage from Alex Jones. The clips that you're just seeing, if you're a radio listener, the clips you're hearing are from 2015, 2013, 2010. You can find this video on the Alex Jones Classics account at AJN Classic on X. Go follow at AJN Classic for these types of little reminders that, yes, we've been dead on the entire time. Dead on, folks. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And folks, if you want to support our continuing mission to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, now is a fantastic time to go to thealexjonesstore.com because you get a bottle of Shilajit gummies absolutely free no matter what you purchase. We're putting in one of our best-selling products because we think that if you try it, you will love it and you will want to buy more. That's just how confident we are in our product. So go now to thealexjonesstore.com, place your order, whatever you purchase, you're getting a free bottle of Shilajit gummies. Make sure to sign up to be a VIP member to get extra benefits. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com. Now, obviously, Trump's latest deal, the latest deal he made with beef from Argentina didn't turn out so well, didn't go so well, but that's just the latest in a series of unremitting failures of the Trump administration, I'm sad to tell you. And it's not looking good for the midterms. From the independent.com, Trump's midterm convention deemed a crap show with high ticket prices, low attendance, and NFL competition. President Trump's upcoming Republican midterm convention has been described as a train wreck by political insiders, with concerns ranging from the exorbitant ticket prices to poor optics, according to a new report. This convention, the first of its kind, is to be held at the American Airlines Center in Dallas on September 9th through 10th, just months before the November midterm elections, which are historically viewed as a referendum on the president's performance in office. They say they're going to celebrate the great American comeback. Ticket prices are one source of discontent. The National Republican Campaign Committee is asking House members to pay $25,000 for themselves and a plus one to attend, according to three sources who spoke to the outlet. The top price is even cheaper, or is even steeper, with some lawmakers being asked to contribute $100,000 to go to this convention. I mean, when you talk about MAGA betraying its base, I mean, this is literally everything Trump railed against his first campaign. Every debate, he would point to the people in the crowd and go, these are the people with the money. They're keeping the regular people out. Trust me, we tried to get tickets. They all went to Bush's contributors. I mean, it's like his biggest moments in 2016, every single one of them was, your brother got us into the Iraq war on, you know, fake mass weapons of mass destruction. It was, you know, the rich people want these tickets to themselves. I'm going to give them to you. I mean, everything he ran on has now been totally inverted. He's now creating events in order to sell tickets to his own congressmen. And I don't know where the hell that money is going, but apparently the GOP is sitting on a gigantic war chest that it's simply not spending. Now, we can strategize and try to figure out why. I think it's pretty simple. I think they know they don't have a chance, and so they're not sending good money after bad. They're not doubling down on an investment for midterms when it's a foregone conclusion and no amount of money can overcome the abysmal the outrageous failure of the Trump second administration. So let's go now to clip number one. This is Jesse Kelly at Jesse Kelly Show. Seems like the GOP is waving the white flag for the midterms. Here he is talking about not the failure, not the mistakes of the Republican Party, the choices they're making to surrender to the Democrats for the midterms. Let's watch.
Are we already giving up on November? And I ask that for this specific reason, because I had a long conversation today with, I'll just tell you who, Sean Spicer. You know what Sean Spicer told me? Sean Spicer told me the GOP is sitting on a gargantuan amount of money, a gigantic amount of money. We are 70, 71 days, something like that, away from the election, and they're not spending it. I told you my story about here in Texas. You know what Sean Spicer told me? Yeah, Jesse, same thing's happening in Michigan. Same thing's happening in North Carolina. Same thing's happening in Georgia. The GOP is sitting on truckloads of cash, and they're not spending it. People are starting to vote early, like now. If not now, every state does it differently, but I guarantee it's starting very soon. This election is right now. Why are we not unloading all this money? What are we saving the money for? Are we saving it for 2028? What has happened? This is malpractice. And I'm not saying we're going to lose the Texas Senate seat, but we might. I'll tell you this. You know what Sean Spicer told me? It's a one-point race right now. 1 point in one of the reddest states in the country. And why wouldn't it be 1 point? Bottom is on every single TV commercial, driving a Ford truck, talking about groceries, and Jesus with pawpaw. And Ken Paxton is nowhere to be found because the GOP's not spending any money. And I'm told that that same thing is happening in Georgia, that John Ossoff is unloading money. He's all over the airwaves, GOP candidate non-existent, North Carolina non-existent, Michigan non-existent. And now I get a story that Jared Kushner is already meeting with the probable, I guess, next Speaker of the House on areas of common ground. Are we in the negotiating the surrender phase? I mean, you're going to have to forgive me, but how am I supposed to take this any other way? I'm going to be calm here. Why in the world would we be meeting with Hakeem Jeffries 2 months before the election? Hopefully Hakeem Jeffries is still in the minority after the election. I would hope that be the goal. But of course, surprise, surprise, who's the one going to sit down with Hakeem Jeffries? Jared Kushner.
Oh, Jared Kushner, the lifelong Democrat? Oh, I'm sorry, are you talking about Jared Kushner, the lifelong Democrat voter who we were promised by Trump would have nothing to do with his campaign and certainly would not get anywhere near his second administration? That Jared, is that the one you're talking about? Jared Kushner, the guy who's friends with all the other billionaire big tech people that hopped on the Trump train in 2024, despite being lifelong Democrats themselves and not actually being conservative and not actually believing in Republican principles. You're telling me that they swooped in and took over the Republican Party and are now crashing it into the ground so that the Democrats can take over? Why, I'm shocked. I thought they'd all had a revelation. I thought they'd all suddenly woken up and realized that their lifelong, deeply held beliefs were wrong. Certainly, you're not accusing them of merely playing the part to gain power, to turn it to their own ends. You wouldn't say something like that, would you, Jesse? I mean, it's just, yeah, it's on purpose. Yeah, they're not trying to win. So I almost feel bad for all of the, you know, people out there arguing for MAGA and calling us bad names because we're going to lose the midterms. No, you're going to lose the midterms all on your own. You're out there like, oh, we got to fight like hell. Even the Republican Party itself isn't with you, doesn't think so, isn't putting everything behind it. I think it's a foregone conclusion, and I think they're fine with that. And it'll be really interesting when the Democrats take power in the Congress and possibly the Senate, and then like don't even impeach Trump. When they like go along with what Trump is doing for the next 2 years. It's going to be really confusing, isn't it? Not if you're looking at the Uniparty, it's not. Now, the craziest thing about all this is that Donald Trump himself is aware of what's going on. He's aware of how bad it is. He tweeted this out today. He truthed it out on his Truth Social. It's a screenshot from Matt Van Swole saying this. I don't think the GOP fully grasps how bad they're effing up right now. I'm talking to people who normally have zero interest in politics who are legitimately pissed off. They are not seeing the major reform they thought would happen, and they're really mad over it. No true accountability, no true mass deportations, no meaningful decrease in the deficit, lots of long vacations and no work, no bills being passed that reduce the government involvement in their lives. I'm very worried the GOP is sleepwalking towards a midterm reckoning they don't see coming. People are pissed off that they voted Trump into office and the GOP continues to slow walk every reform people want. Where are all the Doge cuts that were promised? Where is the SAVE Act? Why haven't we defunded the Taliban yet? Why are the bills passing the House and then disappear in the Senate? Why are the GOP still funding left-wing NGOs that target and hate MAGA Republicans? Why are members of the GOP pushing for mass amnesty instead of mass deportations? People are waking up and they aren't happy about it. People believed they were voting for the Trump agenda, and instead, many feel like they're getting the same old Washington. If Republicans in Congress don't start producing tangible results, they're going to discover the frustration has consequences. And by the time they realize how deep-seated that frustration is, it will already be too late. I mean, if they aren't aware of it now, they can never be aware of it. That's a funny picture. They're all waving the white flag. That's good. Yeah, that's just about right. So why would Donald Trump repost this? He's talking about you. He's talking about you. I mean, there are things that Congress could do, and it would be Donald Trump's responsibility to put that in action. The people not doing what we want are the very people that Donald Trump endorsed. You know who this doesn't apply to? Thomas Massie. Thomas Massie passed bills. Thomas Massie worked hard. He didn't slink off to vacation at every possible moment. He shoved through the Epstein bill and got what people wanted. What happened to him? Who was behind that? So this is the sort of schizophrenia that we're having to deal with here, where Donald Trump is literally retweeting giant paragraphs that are criticism of him and his administration and their failure to do anything for the American people for the last year and a half. What? Like, you didn't retweet this and say, like, Matt Van Swole can go to hell. You retweeted this like he believes it. And again, he can put some of the blame on Congress and Senate, but he's been the unopposed champion of the Republican Party for the last decade. If the GOP is trash, it's because he has failed to make any tangible, realistic changes in the makeup of the Republican Party. And at this point, he is fully in bed with all of the people that have screwed us over. So why is he tweeting that? Why is he posting this? It makes no sense. Okay, here, this is something else, okay? This is I don't know what part, like what release this came out in, if this was part of a lawsuit that occurred, but it is a release, declassified from the Department of Homeland Security, the HSI Homeland Security Investigations Report of Investigation. And these are notes from the 23rd of June, it looks like, 2025, last year. It says, action meeting. During the meeting, they discussed events such as the Hilton Wide Awake protest that targeted hotels known to house immigration and customs enforcement agents within the Twin Cities area. We can go to dot cam here. The meeting provided additional history on sit-ins and various protest techniques that had worked in the past. During the action meeting, it was made clear that the Sunrise Movement organization focused on quote-unquote peaceful protest. UCA 9833, so UCA in this context stands for undercover agent. So an undercover DHS agent spoke to blank, right, spoke to somebody privately and informed him that he works construction and could build items that might assist other groups with more, quote, direct action protest. UCA 9833 told blank that going to jail did not bother him. Blank acknowledged UCA 9833's comments and then saved UCA's phone number. Prior to leaving the meeting, UCA 9833 was provided with a QR code that allowed him slash her to sign up for a group chat that would alert him slash her to other future events. UCA 9833 learned that another meeting sponsored by the Sunrise Movement organization was to be held at February 3rd, 2026 at the Minnesota Public Library. So does this mean, like this person who posted it at 3 Drake A. Nah, does that mean that the feds were behind the pallets of bricks showing up at protests? You have an undercover DHS agent actively providing quote-unquote construction materials for more quote-unquote direct action. It sounds to me like the DHS was literally supplying left-wing extremists with weapons to attack ICE officers. And of course, you remember this. I mean, you remember the entire year of ICE attacks that we endured throughout 2025, the Tesla burnings in the dealerships, the assaults on ICE agents, the shooting at ICE agents. Like, I can think of at least four or five attempts to murder ICE agents by radical leftists. And the whole time they've got confidential undercover agents, undercover confidential human sources inside these organizations, knowing exactly where they're going to be and where they're going to go. And let's see, June 23rd, 2025. Like, I wonder how closely related to, like, the killing of Alex Peretti or the woman who tried to drive over the police officer. Like, I wonder if DHS agents were in that group chat, knew that there would be action scheduled for that day, failed to take any mitigating efforts. And again, if you're in the chats, if you got a bunch of people coordinating and collaborating to commit crimes, which many of them did and continue to, you've got a RICO case sitting right there in your lap. Anybody who commits a crime as a part of an organized, you know, conspiracy, everybody can be charged for that crime. So you see stuff like this. And so just know the endless, you know, we had on, you know, people covering this stuff with Lyman day after day in the freezing cold of like New Jersey and Minnesota, covering it out there. The ICE agents themselves being like just assaulted continuously. And it's like every time you see that and you see people like our reporters like out there, like, you know, here's what's happening. These people are doing this. The whole time, it's just the DHS with puppet strings on both sides. It's just the DHS knowing where they're going, knowing what they're doing, knowing who's involved, knowing where they're getting supplies, knowing how they're communicating and collaborating in the background, and just doing nothing to stop it and just letting it happen. So you kind of feel like a sucker even like reporting on it and like being like, oh, here's what we have to do. They could wrap it all up tomorrow. Tomorrow, Donald Trump could go, I want these people charged with domestic terrorism. We could have a January 6th style sedition hunter operation rounding up literally everybody involved in these attacks, especially things like the Tesla dealerships, burning dealerships down. I mean, people have been charged this year for carrying a torch during the Charlottesville march, which, by the way, organized by the SPLC. But it was burn with intent to cause fear or something because they carried a torch. 9 years later, they're getting arrested and thrown into prison for terrorism because they carried a torch. Meanwhile, people are firebombing Tesla dealerships. None of these people go to jail. And yet, you know, the entire time, the federal government is literally in their chats, helping them to coordinate it, providing them material like we see in this. So, seems to me like the mystery of the pallets of bricks being mysteriously left out ahead of, you know, leftist direct action, it may be literally just the government themselves. Because, by the way, an undercover agent isn't actually working for a construction company. I mean, maybe he is, but, you know, it's not an undercover human source that they're quoting. That's somebody that you know is involved in stuff and you co-opt them sort of on a volunteer basis. But a undercover agent, I interpret as a little bit of a more, you know, professional assignment. So when you've got an undercover agent going, you know, I work construction and can provide construction material, I don't think he actually works construction. And I don't think the government would be okay with him stealing construction material from a construction company, even if it was in service of their undercover operation. That could get a little messy. So I think he's probably actually being provided construction material by the government. That's just supposition, but I don't think he actually worked for a construction company. I think that was probably part of his cover story. Now we're going to be joined in the next hour by a very special guest who you may be familiar with if you watch this show or the Star Wars series. And when we come back, first we're going to start with, I got a couple really good videos to show you. I may have to save them for tomorrow or later in the show. But I think we'll start with a video by a user named StealthQE4. Kevin Warsh faces inflation and debt pressure ahead of his Jackson Hole speech as Americans risk higher prices or recession. And it's from a user on X, QE Infinity. We're going to play this and won't be able to get to the whole thing, but it's a very thorough breakdown of the coming out party for Kevin Warsh, the new head of the Fed, who, of course, is son-in-law of the leader of the World Jewish Congress. So, you know, a princeling. I guess you could call him a princeling. I guess kind of like how mysteriously the head of every big tech company and Jared Kushner and Josh Kushner and Alexander Soros and David Ellison, they're all sons of prominent Zionist leaders. And now the leader of the Federal Reserve is also the son-in-law of the leader of the World Jewish Congress, Ron Lauder. So another princeling, another member of our shadow aristocracy, appointed to a position of authority because of who he is and where his real loyalties lie. We'll show you that video in the first 5 minutes, and then we'll be joined by our guest. Very big hour we still have to go. Stay with us. It's War Room, rumble.com/TheWarRoomLive. Follow us there. Follow me at Harrison H. Smith on X, and we'll be right back.
I'm cutting this announcement on Tuesday, the 25th of August, 2026. This special, one of the biggest ever, only runs until this Sunday, the 30th at theAlexJonesStore.com. Every order gets a $40 value. The highest quality Shilajit gummies, natural pineapple flavor, free with every order. You buy a $30 ball cap, $20 t-shirt, free bottle of Shilajit. Now, this is already in our top 10 sellers, but the folks at Big League want to do this for those of you that have never tried it. It's like people handing out cocaine or heroin to kids at the schoolyard to get them addicted. Except this isn't bad for you. This is good for you. Now, if you don't know what Shilajit is, it would take a long time to describe, but even scientists don't know. It's in the Himalayas and a few other mountains. The best comes from the Himalayas. When there's earthquakes and stuff, these ancient oil deposits, the diatoms and other little microorganisms have lived in, it gets exposed after millions of years of being underground. And I guess these microbes can live underground because they've got superpowers, and it transfers all of that to you. A whole bunch of natural peptides for stamina, energy, libido, focus, clarity. It's known to boost testosterone. There's a lot of Shilajit out there, but not all of it's made equal. This is a private label. We have the liquid, we have the pills, and we have the gummies. Now, I've already been gobbling this one for a while, so it's not full, but it's still a mass ton of these bad boys. You take a couple of these a day, you're going to feel it. Let it dissolve in your mouth for full absorption. They have an incredible flavor. Go to theolishonstore.com. Get ultramethylene blue. Get a t-shirt. Get our Irish sea moss. Get any of the other great products. Our bovine colostrum is a private label, the best in the country. And then you get a free bottle of this. We only sell stuff that works. Only sell stuff that's good for you. Get your free bottle of Shilajit gummies with every order, whatever else you're ordering right now at theolishonstore.com. Thanks for keeping us on the air. You only have until this Sunday. Thank you all for your support, and God bless you all.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
. 2005 was the warning. 2010 was the obituary. 2026 is the sequel, because Washington is now fighting two wars. Neither of them Iran, and you're the collateral damage in both. Hi, I'm Jeff, editor of Global Intelligence Letter and a financial writer for more than 30 years, 17 of those at the Wall Street Journal. In 2005, I wrote in the journal that America's housing market had come unglued from anything people could afford. It was an accurate warning of what was to come just 2 years later. In 2010, I wrote about families who paid the price when that housing market snapped. The obituary, so to speak. This week, I realized I'm watching the sequel unfold. Except now the borrower isn't an unsuspecting nurse who was sold an interest-only subprime mortgage to buy a house she couldn't afford. It's the United States government. But like that nurse who ends up in foreclosure, you're the one holding the bill this time as well. The next big plot point in this sequel comes Friday, when the newly hired Fed poobah, Kevin Warsh, steps to the podium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and delivers his first truly major speech of his career as Fed chairman. This is Coachella for central bankers. Every August, they fly in from 70 countries to a fishing lodge in the Grand Tetons to hear what America's head central banker is thinking. This year, the party is special, because Warsh is a man torn between competing realities, the two wars America is fighting, and whichever way he leans in Jackson Hole is going to leave a mark on your financial life, and here's why. Reality number one, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is in a war to keep yields on U.S. debt as low as he can because America is on the verge of losing control of its finances. Uncle Sam will pay more than $1 trillion a year in interest costs going forward, and higher yields on treasuries just mean those interest costs begin to spiral even higher and eventually out of control. Bessent is so desperate that he's now cosplaying as the wizard behind the curtain, pulling on strings and levers to artificially suppress interest rates, because he knows a hellish alternative awaits. Reality number two, Kevin Warsh is in a war to tame inflation, which is still running far beyond the Fed's 2% target. Warsh has been talking like a hawk in recent months, wanting to aggressively attack inflation. But that requires raising interest rates, which is exactly what Bessent cannot afford. The Treasury needs lower rates to win its fight. The Fed needs higher rates. You can't play King Solomon here and just split the baby down the middle, which is why observers will parse Warsh's comments at Jackson Hole 1,000 different ways. But no matter where the analysis lands, you are in the blast radius. Blast radius number one, Bessent gets his way. He uses all the tricks the Treasury Department has and successfully suppresses yields on U.S. debt. The damage to your wallet, groceries, gas, rent, all those prices go up. Your paycheck, however, won't catch up. It never does when inflation runs hot. Savers get carved up as inflation destroys the purchasing power of their dollars in the bank. Home buyers get a bit of a mixed bag. Mortgage rates likely drift lower, but home prices keep climbing because houses are an inflation asset. So, affordability remains a burning topic at every kitchen table. The only winners are people who already own assets, stocks, real estate, gold, and money parked in foreign currencies. As for blast radius number two, Warsh isn't just flapping his wings like a hawk. He proves he's a real hawk and pushes interest rates higher to attack inflation. In that world, 30-year mortgage rates likely push past 8%, home values fall 10 to 20%, unemployment rises, and within 18 months or so, Uncle Sam's interest costs break D.C.'s fiscal math. Government steps up to pressure Warsh to shift into reverse, and he does, meaning you ultimately end up with reality number one anyway. Plus, you get the damage from a recession and a homeowner class that's underwater because of the price drop in the housing market. The winners in this scenario? People who already own gold, 30-year bonds, and who have recession-proof jobs in healthcare and essential services. Thing is, blast radius number 2 is actually unlikely. Warsh can flap like a hawk all he wants, but he'll never actually fly like one. The Fed is independent on paper, but no Fed chair wants to be the guy who crashed the housing market and put the country into recession. Moreover, he has DC to deal with. Politicians will always choose the slow bleed over the fast crash. Slow bleed doesn't lose elections. Fast crash gets you booted from office. So, every politician in D.C., particularly the guy in the Oval Office, will hound Warsh mercilessly the moment he hints at hiking. And there's your villain. Not Warsh, not Besant. They're just the foot soldiers charged with fighting these wars. The villain is Washington.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. You know, whether it's data centers or flock cameras, it's a lot of people. They're very angry about the way these technologies are being rolled out here in America. And you see a lot of people standing up at their local city council and sounding off about the way these things are being implemented without public discussion, the way they're affecting their personal lives. It often doesn't matter. These things get passed anyway. But last week, we saw a video of the opposite happening. Somebody actually in favor of the flock camera, somebody who actually understands and approves of the use of mass surveillance technology to keep a huge empire's populace enslaved with as little effort as possible. He got up and sounded off at a city council meeting in his hometown. Mr. Darth Vader. Let's watch.
Thank you. It's been a great day. Love to all.
Thank you. Darth Vader.
The Emperor is a fan of flock, and we must continue utilizing flock technologies so that we can follow and surveil the rebel scum as they move from playground to playground, from playground to pool, from pool to gymnasium, because we all know that the flock cameras are not only following the license plate readers, they are following children. They are following children in parks and gymnasiums, and we need this. I need this so I can stalk my ex-girlfriend.
Is that all we got? It keeps going. Wait, I want to watch the whole thing. All right, that was Darth Vader, folks. And we are lucky enough to have the man himself join us today. My guest is Darth Vader. You can follow him on Instagram at DFlocked, DFlockSD and Macatoni and Cheese. That's DFlockSD and Macatoni and Cheese. Both of those are Instagram accounts. And he joins us now. Welcome to the show, Mr. Vader, or should I call you Darth? I don't hear
him. The Force is strong with you. Vader is fine.
Vader's fine. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. It's sort of unique seeing somebody stand up in favor of flock cameras. You don't have a lot of allies out there helping you make this case. What made you think it was important enough for you to stand up and actually speak your mind at one of these city council meetings?
The emperor needs as many servants as is possible, and there are too many rebel scum that are gathering against our surveillance technology. The emperor needs his servants to do the emperor's bidding.
And you think flock cameras will serve that mission, I suppose?
Absolutely. They will help us track the rebels, especially on their hidden location, their rebel base on Hoth. Mm. And as they traverse throughout the universe in their X-Wings, this will enable us to find them. These flock cameras utilize sophisticated ALPR technology, that is, automated license plate reader technology, that enables the Empire to travel anyone, to monitor anyone's travel that is traversing through the galaxy.
Mm. I could see how that would be extremely useful. I know it's not exactly the thing you're most proudful about, the inability to find the rebels. It would have been made a lot easier if planets like Hoth would have had one of these safety networks installed to keep the Empire safe from the outrages of the rebels. I totally get that. Have you or perhaps the Emperor learned something from the past, because it seems like the flock strategy is more of a decentralized strategy. I know the Emperor's fans of like really big weapons, but it turns out those weapons can be destroyed. Is the decentralized aspect of flock, does that make it more resistant to rebel attacks, perhaps?
Yes, and this is the problem. The problem is that Americans on this side of the galaxy are joining together from all backgrounds to oppose this technology, and this is problematic for the Emperor. And therefore, we are utilizing this technology to monitor those Americans that would be against our expansion throughout the entire galaxy.
That makes sense. You're actually utilizing the surveillance technology to spy on the people that are against the surveillance technology. I don't know if that's vertical integration, but that's, you know, certainly a novel corporate tactic. That's very smart. Now, not everybody's with you. In fact, Josh Hawley just today, congressman or senator rather from Missouri, says Americans do not surrender their privacy rights when they drive to work, drop off their kids, or go to church. He says he's investigating flock cameras to determine who has access to hundreds of millions of Americans' data and what they're doing with it. How are you going to deal with this? I mean, the Senate hasn't been disbanded yet. I mean, they're still going to be able to do some things to try to stop this. I mean, what is your response to people like Senator Josh Hawley, who is now picking up the charge and sort of investigating flock on behalf of his constituents? What words do you have for Senator Josh Hawley?
Senator Hawley must think very carefully about whether or not he will choose to upset the Empire. The Empire needs unrestricted access to this technology. In fact, it was our very own Commander Matt Baker that enabled the Starfleet to be able to go into light speed and be able to navigate successfully through the asteroid field that enabled us to receive this transmission and be able to have these communications now.
Yeah, big thanks to Sith Overlord Matt Baker for connecting us to the Prince of Darkness, Darth Vader himself. Very, very useful. And he's definitely not an undercover rebel. So no matter who tells you that, they're lying. Matt Baker's a bad guy, and he's on your team for sure. Now, what Josh Hawley says about this is that your company, what he's saying to Flock is, quote, your company boasts more than 120,000 cameras across 49 states and more than 20 billion vehicle scans every month. The overwhelming majority of Americans captured in those records did nothing wrong. Instead of serving discreet local investigations as contemplated by our constitutional process and safeguards, these camera networks harness artificial intelligence to pool what they've captured into a national database that customers can search. Now, why would it be necessary for Flock, Mr. Vader? Why would they have to have all of these databases accessible? Why would you want to pool all of this in one single database when, you know, most of these investigations are happening at the local level? Wouldn't it make sense to sort of firewall them off there? Why the interconnectedness?
So that we may have a comprehensive overview of the entire nation. Mm. In the guise of safety, we are able to exact our location and track the rebels' whereabouts in order for us to be able to implement this technology throughout every neighborhood in America. We have convinced Americans that this is necessary for their safety. And it is, in fact. And even though Flock is one such company that we may regulate and reform, there are many companies that are in service to the empire, including Axon and Motorola and Ubiquita. The list goes on. If Flock ceases to be the sole provider of these contracts, we will simply find another to do the emperor's bidding. Mm-hmm.
Now, just for the sake of, just being upfront, do you have any perhaps financial interest in any of these companies? Are you or the empire perhaps getting some kickbacks for when these Flock cameras get put in? We know that there's a lot of money to be made here. And I just wanted, for full transparency, are you perhaps making any money from this?
The only thing that powers Darth Vader is the love of power itself.
Mm.
I am in full service to the Emperor, whatever that takes.
Well, so help us to understand this. How would this provide the Emperor or you with greater power? I mean, this is all about stopping crime, right? I mean, how would these things even be used by the Emperor if they do get into place and fully, actualized? If the weapon system were to fully come online, how would it be used perhaps by the Empire?
We will utilize this technology in an aggregate format. The ALPRs, these Flock cameras, serve to give us the power necessary to power our data centers. In our galactic data centers, where we have the necessary information harvested on all the rebels, there we are able to amass this energy and aggregate it into our Death Star, and there it may be fired to destroy places like Alderaan, entire planets.
Places that deserve it.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Long live the Emperor. Yes, I totally get how that makes sense. Now, is it a coincidence at all that we're seeing such rapid advancements in robotics technology? I'm sure you saw what are they called? The fish people from Star Wars? They were holding a robot Olympiad recently. You've got the people that were invading Naboo with the Trade Federation. They had a robot sort of showcase where you have these extremely advanced humanoid robots. Is it a coincidence, or does the Empire plan to use robots for any reason, law enforcement or otherwise? What would be the benefit of robots, and is it a coincidence that these things are happening at the same time?
Absolutely. These things are interconnected. The Emperor will utilize all tools and all technologies available to ensure that the American population does not realize that we are slowly eroding their civil liberties.
Mm. In fact, they'll probably cheer for
it. We will utilize cyborgs, we will utilize drones, we will utilize whatever technology is necessary for the Empire to have complete control over the American people. And anyone who rebels against us is a rebel scum and part of the Rebel Alliance.
And I assume they'll be destroyed.
Thoroughly.
Space lasers, I also assume, are going to be involved in that. Perhaps not as big as the Death Star, but as we mentioned, maybe the Empire is going to a more decentralized defensive posture. To continue with this outrageous statement from Josh Hawley, the senator, because again, I mean, this is the enemy here, and I'd love to hear a spokesperson for the Empire respond to this. They say that there are many places where these things are abused, and in fact, the technology isn't as capable as Flock or maybe yourself are letting us on to think, leading us on to believe. One California police department found a staggering 71% of its alerts were wrong, and the LA police department dropped its Flock contract after an audit showed officers had stopped 161 vehicles incorrectly, flagged as stolen in the space of 2 months. I mean, 2 months, 161 mistakes, 71% of alerts being false positives. I mean, do you have any concern about the amount of mistakes that this system seems to be making?
This is propaganda by the rebel scum. Mm. They want us to believe that our machines make errors when they do not. Our machines are flawless, and they provide exact coverage of our property, which is our people. These things are inextricably interlinked, and that is why we must use Flock to protect our subjects, our people, our property.
Mm. That makes sense. And really, it seems like you're coming from a place of genuine concern and love for the people, right? I mean, we know that people are not capable of handling things themselves. I mean, to trust regular people to police their own neighborhoods and arrest their own criminals, I mean, this is some insane, you know, rebel nonsense. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Why we need centralized authority to keep us safe from ourselves?
Yes, because being alone is dangerous.
True.
And any time anyone is alone, they might be having a moment of privacy. And that may not be permitted by the Empire. The Empire wants all of its subjects to know that they are never alone, never, ever alone, that we shall be with all of our subjects at all times so that they are never afraid. After all, it was Yoda who said that fear leads to anger, was it not? And that anger leads to the dark side? We do not understand why rebels are against this technology in the first place.
Truly, it's baffling, you know, and I choose just not to even try to understand where they're coming from. I trust you fully and implicitly. You know, we just flashed up there a statement from Major Sith Lord Larry Ellison, statements he was making to the World Government Summit about the need to combine all this AI data into a single database so it can be used so that citizens will be on their best behavior. Now, you and he seem to share some talking points. Are you in collaboration behind the scenes, or is it just sort of great minds think alike?
Yes, Larry Ellison and I are good friends. We have been in service to the Empire for ages, and we will continue to do the Emperor's bidding.
That's certainly the vibe I got from him. This is all just from the letter from Senator Josh Hawley. Furthermore, he says, once cameras collect driver data, uncertainty abounds in how your company and its customers sell or use data. Flock's $8.3 billion valuation comes with enormous pressure to find new commercial applications. Americans demand a full accounting of how their driver's data is stored or sold. Again, it seems like baseless smears to me. I mean, the Emperor is not interested in selling this information, is he? I mean, that would be sort of mercenary of him. He's above money, right? I mean, but is there any threat to perhaps this data being sold for a profit somehow?
The Emperor must work with whatever companies are willing to provide the technologies the Emperor needs. And if data is needed, if data aggregation is needed for us to be able to find the rebels wherever they may be they at parks, or be they at gymnasiums, or be they at playgrounds, no age is too young to be a rebel scum.
So true. That's so true. I have some kids you might want to look into. They're having independent thoughts and there's almost nothing we can do about it. But I think there's something we could do. I think you could figure out something to do about this. So what do you say to people who just, they just say, I want to be able to do things without being watched constantly by an evil empire? I mean, what do you say to these crazy conspiracy theorists who think that it's somehow, you know, a part of their freedom that they get to go to the park without being observed or leave their house without it being logged and tracked by a database? I mean, what do you say to people who are having trouble accepting this new reality and the new safety paradigm that really is there to keep them healthy?
I would use this analogy. On this side of the galaxy, when people use the restroom, they enter into a device called a portal potty. If the door handle on the portal potty was not secured and fell off by accident, would you, as a passing observer, look at the person utilizing the restroom?
No.
It is your right to, after all. There is no privacy in public.
True.
Why should you look away? This is in public after all. Their private moment matters not. It should be surveilled by the Empire. All moments should be surveilled by the Empire.
You're exactly right. And I think anybody even wanting privacy, maybe that's a reason to suspect them. I think that would be a good choice to make. Of course, even inside the house, the expectation that people should have privacy, that's a little outdated, right? I mean, this is a progressive sort of empire you're running here. So are there any plans to surveil inside the domicile in the near future?
We will utilize any and all available technologies. As is commonly known, we have implemented ways to surveil homes with television, with laptops, with any electronic devices that enable us a mirror, a screen into that room.
Just like you need and deserve for keeping everybody safe. I totally get it. It says this finally, then we only have a few minutes left here, but this is, again, from Senator Josh Hawley. He says, Americans do not surrender their privacy when they drive to work, drop off their kids at school, or go to church. The Supreme Court has recognized that a comprehensive retrospective record of a person's movement is different from an ordinary observation in public. Congress never authorized this network of surveillance. What do you say about the Supreme Court? Will the Supreme Court perhaps be a barrier to the implementation of this heroic surveillance network?
Yes, this Supreme Court of yours has been very problematic in implementing this technology as far as we would like. In the recent case of Chatree versus the United States, this was made evident where the court ruled that, in fact, what constitutes as a search had been done utilizing geofencing warrants to surveil all people in the approximate location of one specific person who had robbed a bank. 300 people's information and data was collected and sorted to find one person. Rebels have said if the criminals must utilize crime to catch rebels, what's the point of law enforcement? Well, the point is this: to surveil and to protect, and to protect everyone from being alone. You will never, ever have to be alone, ever. No moment of privacy. This is the future that the Emperor has in store for you.
And that's why.
And if you do not accept it, you are a part of the Rebel Alliance.
That's exactly right. If you're not with us, you're against us. I'm well familiar with that. And that's why I call it the Empire of Friendship, because they want everybody to be friends and never be alone. Incredible stuff. My guest has been Mr. Darth Vader. You can follow him on Instagram at DFlockSD and Mac and Tony and Cheese. thank you for being with us, and thank you for not force choking me to death, sir. We'll see you soon.
Fight for our sovereignty, to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot. Where,
oh, I've said that the other day when I had you guys coming on. I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat. You're your own enemy. He does that to guests. It was like Theo Vaughn, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, but didn't really wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the global's going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, you'll get Masterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that, mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
It's completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff and doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment of the War Room for today, and I still have a lot of important videos to show you and some breaking news. In fact, this just broke during the show. Although, we absolutely predicted this. I should have asked the crew to find it. It's perhaps the most predictable outcome of any legal proceeding we've ever seen. Not that it's right or good, the exact opposite. If you remember, there is a man named Ori Solomon, an Israeli national, who was caught along with a Chinese, like a man on the run from the Chinese government. And they were discovered running an illicit bio lab in Las Vegas, New Mexico. Or I'm sorry, Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah, it was Las Vegas. The bio labs contained dengue fever, HIV, and tuberculosis. Now, what do you think happened to old Ori Solomon? I remind you, he is a Israeli citizen. What do you think happened? What do you think happened to the man caught committing a whole host of crimes, including having guns he's not supposed to have, but most importantly, running an underground illicit bioweapons factory? What do you think his punishment is going to be? What do you think he's going to be charged with? If your answer was nothing, they let him go, you're exactly right. Here's the video. As all the charges against the Israeli citizen Ori Solomon have been dismissed, he was arrested for running an illegal bio lab containing dengue fever, HIV, and tuberculosis in Las Vegas. Here's a news report about his release. Let's watch.
Investigators say they were tipped off to one by someone who worked in the house. They raided it early Saturday morning. Video revealing the hundreds of samples collected in vials and jugs. Days later, police identifying this man, Ori Solomon, as the property manager.
We have no knowledge that he had any expertise or is in that area, or he's somewhat of a trained biologist, no.
Court records obtained by Channel 13 show he's an Israeli citizen here on a non-immigrant visa. Authorities say he works for a Chinese citizen who goes by the alias David Herr, who owns the home on Sugar Springs Drive. Herr is in a California jail charged following a 2023 investigation of an alleged illegal biolab in Reedley, California. Leaders there holding a press conference this week.
Pathogens, including samples of COVID-19, there was 1,000 transgenic mice that were there.
Investigators say much of what was found in that Fresno warehouse is consistent with materials found in the lab in Las Vegas. Solomon manages more than 30 short-term rental properties, including this one where the biolab was found in Las Vegas.
A man arrested in connection with a biolab discovery in Las Vegas has had federal charges dropped. Earlier this month, the U.S. Attorney's Office for Nevada filed a motion to dismiss the criminal complaint filed against Ori Solomon. He was taken to federal custody back in February after investigators conducted a raid on his Valley home. Officers found a refrigerator containing vials filled with unknown liquids. He was charged with disposing and discharging hazardous waste. Federal prosecutors had charged him with illegal possession of a firearm. An FBI complaint states his immigration status barred him from owning or possessing a gun. State-level charges against him remain ongoing in Las Vegas.
Only now they've been dropped. Only now the state-level charges have also been dropped. Where's the bell? We need the bell. I called for it yesterday. We need the Jewish privilege bell. I mean, unless you have another reason why a man accused and basically proven to be running an illegal bioweapons lab, an illegal lab with samples of contagious diseases, he just gets let out. They're just let, no charges, nothing. Pretty crazy stuff, you know. I don't get away with anything. I don't know anybody that gets away with anything. Somehow, people are getting away with the most insane crimes constantly. As long as you have a certain identity, that is. Because it seems like these things are... There it is. See, that's what we need. Maybe the Haga Navila. Maybe we should just play that. Because I can't. I just, you know, strikes me as a bit suspicious. Especially since he was released by... Sigal Chata is the authority who let him go. She, of course, was also involved in the escape of Tom Alexandrovich, the Israeli head of the Digital Dome program, which is the pilot program that they're sending out to all the NATO countries, the Five Eyes, Germany, America, where they're going to run our cybersecurity for us. They're going to build us a cyber dome, and they'll protect us. There's one thing you can trust Israel with, it's cybersecurity for sure. He, of course, was caught trying to meet an underage girl in Las Vegas, was arrested for that, and was let go. And he escaped backed Israel. Sigal Chata was involved in that. She was the one who declined to prosecute Alexandrovich. She used a loophole to even obtain her U.S. attorney job. She's quoted as saying, all Palestinians are terrorists. She's quoted as saying, I'm Israel and Jewish, so it's not racist. And saying that a Christian named A.G. Ford should be hung from an effing crane. And in fact, when she was appointed, there was a letter signed by 116 judges opposing Chata's appointment as U.S. attorney. But she got through anyway and has made a nice career over the last couple of years of letting Israeli criminals go. So that's the update to the Ori Solomon story, as if it would ever be anything else, as if we would actually hold anybody to account for anything these days. Now I'm going to play a video. We're going to shift it a little palate cleanser for you here, because this is a collaboration by two of my favorite creative people out there today. Friend of the show, Aya May, has a new song called Sinners, and she collaborated with I Can't Even Productions to create the music video. I Can't Even Productions, of course, we play practically everything he makes because it is really next level incredible stuff. And honestly, the AI that our side is producing now, unbelievable. I mean, PsyOp Anime, I Can't Even Productions, there's a few others. I mean, just truly artistically important stuff happening right now online. I really believe that. And of course, IMA, our favorite pop star. So you can find this video at I Can't Even Films on X. Sinners by at IMA Music. Clip 22. Let's watch.
Hate the sin, but love the sinner. Even though they're eating kids for dinner, shut your mouth and don't ask why. 'Cause if you do, you'll die by suicide.
Sinners by Aya May. You can get that song. You can buy it, of course, on iTunes and everywhere else. Full music video of Sinners on YouTube as well. Music video by I Can't Even Productions. Follow them at I Can't Even Films. Follow Aya at, I think it's at Aya May Music. I just put the sheet down. Yeah, at Aya May Music. Yeah, fantastic stuff, and we need more of it. IMA.com. Is Ringo. Maybe we need to have her on again, talk about what she's been up to. We haven't had her on in a couple years, but absolutely awesome stuff. And I just love I Can't Even Productions because it's like a quiz. It's like a test. It's like an I Spy game. It's like, do you know everybody? There's only one person I don't think I recognize, which is at the very beginning. I couldn't tell who was standing with all the Nickelodeon stars. Obviously it was Diddy and Ellen and Well, there's an old man. I couldn't identify him. But I love that because you go through and, you know, you wonder, okay, if a normie watched this, who would they even know any of these people? Would they even know what all this stuff is referencing? Like, what would it even look like to them? Because I sort of get it, right? Who's that old man? Who's that? I don't recognize him. Brian Peck. Okay. Oh, he was a showrunner for Amanda's show. And for all the shows that had the weird stuff in it, you know, that had the child stars who all ended up just disasters of human beings. Because they're victims, you understand, because they were destroyed by the system that they trusted. So I don't blame them for being disasters. They are victims, after all. That's just fantastic stuff. And I'm, you know, I was getting in some fights today on X about satanic Hollywood. Because, you know, sometimes people are genuinely talented. You know that, right? Yeah, this is some of the, Well, Dan Schneider was on the right. Yeah, Dan Schneider was on the right. And then the old man, I guess, was the Peck guy. But yeah, Schneider's the, well, he's the fan of feet. He's a big fan of feet. Oh, that was Sumner Redstone. Okay. That makes sense. I didn't recognize him. Yeah, you saw Brzezinski in there. I'm just all sorts of bits. It's a who's who behind the scenes, you know? And I explained this a little bit yesterday, but I was getting in fights with people about Dolly Parton today. I was getting kind of heated over it. Because I'm like Nick Fuentes telling people not to blame Charlie Kirk on Israel. Because it's like, look, you gotta actually stick to the facts. You gotta actually know what you're talking about. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's like, yes, Hollywood is a satanic cesspit. Yes, almost everybody these days got their start by making a deal of one sort or another. And it doesn't even have to be, it's not even necessarily that they freaking sacrificed their firstborn or whatever. We've talked about this. There's a very like mundane manifestation of these ideas, right? If you look at how Backstreet Boys or NSYNC got started, Backstreet Boys were first. And I mean, this was proven out in court and the manager was sued and everything. But the way it works is you get a bunch of people who cannot succeed on their own, who aren't quite talented enough to really break through on their own, but they're talented enough to, you know, be the face of the program you're running. And certainly in the case of Backstreet Boys, you find like semi-talented kids from trailer parks in Florida. Yeah, this is Redstone, major voting shareholder of the media conglomerate Viacom CBS. Yeah, not a great guy. And who was the manager of the Backstreet Boys that got sued and busted for all this? I'm blanking on his name right now, but you'd recognize it if you heard it. And he basically took the, you know, he takes these boys from trailer parks in Florida, takes them up to New York City and basically goes, sign the contract and I make you an A-list star or go home back to where you came from. You know, it's not like give me your firstborn son. It's just as simple as that. It's just you have no leverage. I dictate the terms. Your choice is either sign it and become famous or don't and I leave you behind. And that's how it works. And so they sign it because what other option do they have? If you want fame, here's how you get it. Sign on the dotted line. Not with your blood and fire. I mean, I'm sure that happens sometimes, but there's very mundane ways that this, you know, is implemented. And you can look at that and you have to understand that when people talk about revelation of the method, yes, there's a sort of occultish adherence to certain strictures where you have to let people know what you're doing before you do them to offload the karmic negatives that would come your way. Otherwise, I'm sure that's going on too. But there's also like a very, again, mundane, normal way this works, which is if I get you to sign the contract, you got nobody to blame but yourself. Even if I do something abusive to you, you said in the contract I could. So it's not necessarily revelation of the method when they tell you what they're going to do to you. Sometimes it's in legal form and they go, I'm going to make all of the money from here on out. You're going to get a stipend. You're going to be worked like a dog, but you're going to be famous and I'm going to get the money. And so then later, when the Backstreet Boys are actually famous and they look at their contract and go, why the hell are we still sticking with this? We're the famous ones. And you want to go and tell a judge or somebody, hey, this guy's defrauding us. This guy's stealing our money. They go, you're in on it. You knew what was going to happen and you went along with it anyway. We have the contract right here. So you've got no recourse. So again, there's different manifestations of this idea of like telling people what you're going to do before you do it. Sometimes it's to get them in on it so they can't turn on you later. But people like Dolly Parton, what were they going to offer her? She was the songwriting genius. She was the amazing singer. She was the beauty. She was the brains. Like, what they do is they go find people that are not talented and they offer them, sign over your soul and you'll be famous and I'll get all the money and you'll be worked until you're destroyed. Sign on the dotted line. And people who aren't talented, that's their only path to fame. Somebody like Dolly Parton, again, genuinely talented, genuinely lyrical genius in a lot of ways. They had to actually recruit her. They had to actually, you know, provide her with something because she could just take her talent and go elsewhere. They didn't have leverage over her like they have over untalented people. And so they either get, yeah, that's interesting. Is that Kissinger with Parton? That's like straight out of an I Can't Even production. That could be featured next time. She knew what she was doing. She knew exactly what she was doing. So they'll either find untalented people and they'll produce them so they seem talented, knowing that they can't take their talent elsewhere without the producer. They're nothing. So, you know, they keep them locked in that way. Or they find people that are genuinely talented, but that are a mess, that their personal lives a mess and they're on drugs or they're just slave to their, you know, lust, and you control them that way because they're not going to, you know, they're not, you know, Michael Jackson making giant deals to try to buy, you know, really profitable music catalogs. Like those types of people get killed by the cabal. So, you know, they don't go for those. They either go for the untalented that they make talented or the talented and disturbed emotionally and mentally so that they can be controlled and will never actually be able to stand up for themselves. But when you got somebody like Michael Jackson or you got somebody like Dolly Parton who are smart and capable, they're the ones that break through the system. So I will no longer have you besmirch the queen, Dolly Parton. She was the real deal. And again, that doesn't mean that nobody in Hollywood signs the devil's contract. I mean, Dolly Parton met her husband when she was 18 on the first day she went to Nashville, and she was with him for 60 years. It's like, you know, some people are just the real deal. You know, some people are just, they just have that American exceptionalism. They just have that drive. They have that wit. They're in the right place at the right time. They're driven and talented. That exists. Don't think that just because a bunch of scumbags have wormed their way into the top of our industries and exclusively choose only people willing to be corrupted. Remember, that's really what it's about. It's not about Harvey Weinstein actually wanting to sleep with all these women. It's about, I'm only going to make women famous if they show they're willing to compromise their own honor for fame. That way, every A-list actor from here on out has gone through the filter and has been approved because they've proven that they're willing to give it up for fame, that they're willing to do what they're told, that they're willing to debase and humiliate themselves. Only when they prove that will they be put on the marquee. Anybody who tries to stand up against them doesn't make it through the process. So yes, that still obviously exists, but then somehow that gets, you know, warped into there's no talent ever anywhere. There's nothing. Anybody who's famous is automatically suspect. And it's just like, man, way to get your enemies to kneecap themselves. And it does. It's like one of the main problems with the right and has been the entire time, you know, I've been talking about stuff. For the last 10 years, it's been a big issue. People wake up to the reality and they see how many people are controlled, see how many famous people are not what they seem. And suddenly that spirals out into literally everybody with any amount of fame is therefore suspect and not to be trusted. And it's like, okay, but what about the real deal? What about the people that are actually legit? What about the Alex Joneses out there that are just exactly what they seem and put it all out front and let you see behind the scenes and there's nothing to hide? Like, are you able to trust people who prove that they can be trusted? Because I feel like a lot of people out there can be given all of the evidence they need that someone's the real deal. They still don't trust them because they've been warped a little bit. Whatever, I go on about that all day, but I got to go to this video because this one's crazy. This is a man who went undercover to expose Islam's takeover of the UK and the joining of terrorist groups via mosques. Clip 28 at Be Proud Patriot on X. Here's an undercover video of what it's like amongst the Muslim population of the homeland of my people, England. Let's watch.
For the UK? 100%.
We're also affiliated with ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
Definitely, bro.
As a Muslim, I want to do something. Like, I want to join some group. I don't know, man. I want to go fight.
Are you recording me?
We're going to go undercover to different mosques and interview different people to see the level of extremism in London.
I want to ask you. I want to join some group, some Islamic group.
Yeah, if you go to the mosque...
They will have, yeah?
They have lots of group. Also.
Because I want to go and fight for Hamas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to the mosque.
Do you know which mosques support bringing Sharia law to London?
Yeah.
Okay. As I was walking, I encountered a Muslim man handing out pamphlets.
How are you?
Welcome to visit our mosque.
Yes, sure. What is this mosque?
Just here.
Do they recruit for Islamic resistance groups here too?
Yeah, everything, everything. Each and everything in our life.
Right. And you think Sharia law is good for the UK?
100%.
You want Sharia law?
Yeah.
Inshallah, one day we bring the caliphate to this country.
Inshallah, inshallah. That was insane. So, I had to go check it out.
Hello, brother. Is the mosque over there?
Yeah.
Yeah. This mosque, yeah, I heard they help people find they give weapons to for you to go and train with ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, definitely.
I entered the mosque and spoke to the representative there. What is it you guys do exactly?
Alhamdulillah, people come, 60, 70 people converted to Islam. We do training 2 o'clock and started training them.
Thank you very much. Even though he wanted me to help convert non-Muslims, I decided to use the pamphlet to see how many Muslims agree with the Sharia and jihadist ideas.
Hey, brother. We want to, bring Sharia law in this country.
Alhamdulillah.
Because this country is going to shit, don't you think?
Yes.
And we want anyone that wants to help us bring Sharia law in this country and hopefully we can do some jihad.
Yes. I am interested.
The Sharia law comes... Alhamdulillah.
I think it's a good idea, no?
Yes.
Yeah, we bring Sharia law to this country, and I think the women should cover up.
Alhamdulillah.
Very good that you cover up your daughter. Yeah, this is, just go there today.
Uh-huh.
They're giving tea, and they're going to speak to you about that, yeah?
Okay.
We want to bring Sharia law in this country.
Okay.
We're also affiliated with ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
Definitely.
Yeah?
How much are you involved?
Yeah, you should get involved by going to the mosque, inshallah, and then they teach you how to join. We want to bring Sharia law in this country.
Good idea.
Do you want to join the cause?
Inshallah,
I think this country should become like Pakistan and Afghanistan, man.
Yeah,
I want to even go and fight for Taliban.
Inshallah.
Yeah, yeah. The whole world should be Islamified, no?
At the end of the day, Islam is a true religion, so yeah. I hope for everyone to become Muslim.
Surprisingly, not a single Muslim objected to my radical opinions or told me I was wrong. They all agreed with my jihadist ideals of bringing Sharia to London and Islamify the whole world.
Yeah, I think we got a problem here. So Tommy Robinson posted that. Watch and listen as Eunice Rocks goes undercover. So Eunice Sagad, whatever. Yeah, kind of freaky. Kind of freaky stuff. I'd like to see a lot more of this. It seemed like it wasn't that hard. And it seemed like fish in a barrel, actually. Didn't seem like you had to spend a lot of time wandering around trying to find somebody saying something objectionable. It seems like everybody he talked to said it. Maybe more people need to be doing this undercover. That could be a big genre coming up.
Alex Jones and his pests have learned more than they were ever meant to know. I will not suffer their continued existence. Girls, you know what to do.
Yes, my queen. Your wish is our command.
Now someone check on my insider trading and get me a martini while you're at it.
Alex, my friend, I have detected hostile frequency on the airwaves. You are in great danger.
Thank you, Victor. We're on red alert. Crew, get to your battle stations now.
We're ready, sir!
Fire away! for coming, Health Ranger. Now let's get to work.
Let's begin the process and prepare for maximum human potential.
Power plant and methyl drive, pour them in. Excellent. The formula is becoming more powerful than I ever imagined.
Now, pour in the methylene blue. Yes, let the transformation begin.
Wow, the power drive bundle might be a little much all at once. That thing packs a punch.
But seriously, folks, the Power Drive Bundle combines three powerful formulas designed to support energy, mental clarity, and stress resilience. And every purchase helps keep us on the air, fighting for you.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.